Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone and call the meeting to order. Would the secretary read the roll call, please?
Okay. For the City of Morro Bay, Mayor Janice Peters, Vice Mayor Melody DeMeritt, William Pierce, Council Member, Council Member Betty Winholtz, Council Member Rick Grantham.
Here.
For Cayucas, President Robert Enns.
Here.
Director Nat Raimondo.
Here.
Director Shirley Lyon.
Here.
Director Bud McHale.
Here.
Director Harold Phones.
Okay, I'm going to open the meeting to public comment. At this time, public comment is limited to items that are not on the agenda. I'm assuming that a number of you are here to discuss item B1, the treatment plant, and we will have a public comment period that ties in with that item. So you'll have to wait just a minute to be able to speak on that item. So if anyone would like to comment on items not on the agenda, you may do so at this time. Please state your name and try to keep your comments to 3 minutes.
Here we go. Pam Hetherington, Executive Committee of the Surfrider Foundation. I just wanted to remind you that the 4th of July is coming up. Every year, our Surfrider chapter has been out at the beach at Cayucas to do beach cleanup. This year, we're going to try and take before and after pictures so that we can get them in the newspaper. So we're hoping that Cayucas and Morro Bay get together, do some advertising, put up some signs about not putting your trash in the ocean or on the beach. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Anyone else?
My name is Alon Perlman. I'm from Los Osos, and I'm actually a member of the Community Advisory Council in Los Osos, which meets at 7. So would the president showed graphs that described salinity as the primary pollutant measurement. I hope this is not the case today. Things have changed quite significantly since the time a year ago. And in the last few months, the certainty of state water coming down is also being questioned, in fact, by reality. Los Angeles is also a draw on state water, and therefore you can expect that the water supplies coming from the state are going to become less reliable, and any measure that you can take at this time, such as tertiary treatment, will free up water as your backup plan. I did see Bruce Gibson, the supervisor, and Pablo Ogrens, a county public's work representative, as they were discussing the Los Osos sewer project earlier today at 4 o'clock in Los Osos, and I asked them for a position statement. They, of course, recognized, expressed. They gave a very long answer, each of them, and they, of course, respect the separation of powers and the processes that happen here. But out of that discussion, I personally pulled the impression that tertiary is the regulatory future and that it would cost more to do it later. And again, I'm not quoting either of those gentlemen. I'm just expressing my opinion of what their response to the answer was. If you buy a computer, why buy one that isn't internet ready? Would you spend a lot of money on a flat-screen TV that isn't going to be high definition? Why get Betamax at this point in time when you could be buying a DVD? So I think you, many other people will speak to this address. I would, there are some speaking points, but I would add one. Can you imagine the effects on tourism when it becomes known that for the sake of a fistful of pennies, Morro Bay chose not to go tertiary, and that is an assumption I hope that doesn't come true. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Marla Dobriton, North Morro Bay. And I'm just wastewater plant upgrade. If they would like to come to them and talk, and we would have, hopefully they've invited, well, I know they've invited the regional board, regional water quality board, the state board, and you, and the board of supervisors here. So I'd really appreciate if somebody from the two agencies, each agency, could show up and represent us. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else?
My name's Roy Vigneault. We dirty the water. We clean it up. I wanted to pay my fair share. Thank you.
Thanks, Roy. All right, seeing no one else, we'll go to item A, our consent calendar, and...
Can we just make that announcement, Robert?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
There's a room down the hall. If you want to just sit and watch this part of the meeting so you don't have to get tired of standing up, they got the TV hookup in there. You can come back in when it's time to speak, but if you want to be comfortable now, feel free to go down, sit on a couch, and watch it on TV.
Thank you, Janice.
Excuse me, Mr. Enns, if
yes.
You would mind. This invitation to the Ocean Protection Council, would it be appropriate to talk now about who would be going to that meeting from Cayucas and Morro Bay? The June 14th meeting that the citizen... I've got all the communication here from OPC. As you know, these are the people with their hands on the big purse strings at the state. And I would offer on the Morro Bay side if somebody else... couldn't go, but I was wondering if Cayucas would be interested as well.
Sorry, Tim, I'm looking at you. I just wanted to clarify that
meeting that day too.
If that is an action item and it's not on our agenda, we need to...
No, it's not an action item. Is this on?
It's an invitation to a meeting. I'm inquiring. I plan to go or somebody. I'm just inquiring if they're going to go.
I think it's certainly within your purview to generally discuss the item, although it's not an action item. I'm not sure formal action would be necessary.
All right. Thank you, Tim. I'm sorry. Rob?
You have a JPA meeting scheduled that night also.
That's a good thing.
Who
should go to that?
Great.
We'll consider it at that time. All right, with that, we'll go to the consent calendar. Cayucas would like to have some discussion on item A2. So, Cayucas, the motion would be in order for approval of item A1.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Mayor Peters.
I move that we approve A1.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I guess, Bruce, I'd want to address a few comments to you regarding item A2. We have a letter in our possession from Roger Briggs, and it appears to be rather discouraging regarding building a plant in the Chorro Valley. And I had a couple questions regarding that, and there appeared to be a couple of contradictory areas in the executive summary. One of them was that the length of time to get something like this approved to be, I think in the executive summary said 6 months to several years. Roger Briggs' letter specifically says several years. And my question was, is there any possibility of 6 months, or is the several years more realistic?
The answer to that would probably be best answered by Cannon, who did the study, but I do know they met with regional board staff and discussed the permitting issues, and I think they were, the general gist of that conversation was that it could be difficult to permit that project. The exact time frame, you know, I might even defer to Matt Thompson, who's sitting in the audience, but I'm certain that it would take at least 6 months, and my guess is it would take probably a little longer than that, but I think that was based on their conversations with regional board staff.
Okay, and I would like to have Matt answer a couple questions here in a second. The other issue there was that the letter says that we would have to produce water similar in quality to drinking water, and we've had some discussion, I think, at our board meeting about some new requirements. Can you help us with that? Bruce, there was something about something in the trillion, parts per trillion.
Well, I think the general guidelines for creek discharge are that you have to meet effluent limitations at end of pipe rather than getting a dilution credit that you'd get for an ocean discharge. So there are certain constituents that I think are either driven by TMDLs or the California toxics rule that are very stringent, and one of them is a byproduct of disinfection, which is a trihalomethanes. And my understanding is that the limits on that constituent are lower than drinking water standards at the present time because of, I think, toxicity issues, and I don't know all of the ins and outs of that, but they're very stringent. City of San Luis is struggling with that right now. I think the general idea of the Chorro Valley project was that knowing that a creek discharge would be would have severe permit limitations, that by using RO to clean the water, not only would we get rid of a potential salt problem, but we would remove any other potential problematic constituents. And that was the reason that they decided to go more with the RO than just tertiary treatment and go to the creek.
All right, thank you. There was another line in there or a sentence about taking the reject brine pipeline to the existing ocean discharge. And I recall some time ago that there was an attempt to run a desal brine line into our outfall, and it caused some problems between Cayucos and Morro Bay. So I'd like to address that early in the game now so we don't have some problems later.
Well, I think it was, you know, subsequent to the conflict over Morro Bay sticking their brine into the outfall, both the Sanitary District Board and the City of Morro Bay entertained an idea from ERA Mobil to discharge brine from the oil fields in San Ardo, actually, that would be pumped over the hill. And I think it was city staff's assumption at this point that if we were willing to stick brine from the oil field into the outfall and we had and it would meet the parameters for ocean discharge, that taking brine from a facility in the Chorro Valley would probably be treated in a similar manner.
Okay, I think I was referring to something that had to do with the actual RO plant that was built in Morro Bay.
That's correct. In the 94 permit, the first sentence of the permit was, thou shalt not discharge brine from a desal facility into the ocean outfall. It's not in subsequent permits, but I think the thought process for Morro Bay was that the city and the district had entertained actually putting brine from another facility into the outfall and actually did some preliminary testing and had conversations with ERA and Mobil Oil probably in like 97, 98. And the general feeling was that rather than bring the brine back into the plant, it would be preferred to put it into the ocean outfall.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. Now, Matt, could you help us here just briefly? The last portion of Roger's letter refers to it tends to encourage us to go to tertiary. It talks about distribution of recycled water and phases of a project and the fact that there, in fact, would be millions of dollars in state grant funding will soon be available for water quality, water recycling, and water supply projects throughout the state. And I'd like to hear a little bit about, first of all, the encouragement to go to tertiary, and second, will there really be money out there?
Sure. There have been a lot of bond measures that have come down. You've heard of Prop 13, Prop 50, and Prop 84. Prop 13 money's pretty much gone. Prop 50 money is going away quickly. And the next big one is Proposition 84. And this, my understanding of this funding program is that it will be administered more by the Department of Water Resources rather than the State Water Resources Control Board. Now, the Department of Water Resources is obviously interested more in water supplies and the connection between, you know, wastewater facilities and water supplies. I anticipate that they will be less focused on upgrading of just upgrading wastewater treatment facilities. I anticipate that they'll be more interested in water recycling to, you know, for example, offset use of state water. My understanding of the way that program is going to work is they're going to allocate certain amounts to each regions, each of the regions. And so at this point, I've heard that the amount they're going to allocate to the Central Coast region for water quality and supply related projects will be $50 million.
All right.
Of course, there are a lot of projects in the Central Coast region that you would have to compete with.
We're getting our feet wet in that experience.
Could I ask a follow-on question regarding
yes,
that
please.
Immediate thing? When you said this $50 million and DWR control, is there a connection between them, a communication connection between DWR and the OPC, for example, so that if they have control of the money and we show up at OPC in June and say, we've decided to do this, but we don't know how to pay for it, we need help? Is there a connection between those two bodies and those two funds? Or?
Yeah, good question. My understanding of that is that the Department of Water Resources is a part of the resources agency at the state level. The secretary of the resources agency is Mike Chrisman. He is, I think, the chair of the Ocean Protection Council.
Thank you very much.
I have a question when you're done.
All right. Please go ahead.
The comment by Mr. Briggs in here in relationship to the quality of the water for the creek, that would be no different than what San Luis has to do for San Luis Creek. Is that true?
Well, it's actually a little more tough. I mean, we're telling San Luis they have to get down, they have to get their nitrate down to less than 10 milligrams per liter as nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Choro Creek has a total maximum daily load that specifies that the lower reach of Choro Creek, the reach that is downstream of Canet Road,
mm-hmm.
which is where you would propose to locate this facility, that reach of creek has to attain a nitrate level of 1.6 milligrams per liter nitrate as N.
And why is that?
That is to prevent what we call biostimulation or algal growth down there that is harming aquatic life. That's my best understanding of the TMDL.
And that's different from San Luis Creek because?
Well, San Luis Obispo Creek, the number 10, is more based on the drinking water standard. They have less problem with eutrophication or with algal growth downstream of their discharge point. There's better cover on that creek. Choro Creek is... there's a lot of insulation, or there's a lot of it's open to the sun, and so there's more problem with algal growth down there.
And so what the CMC will be dumping or is dumping into Choro Creek, together we have to meet this same amount.
Correct.
And what have you required of them?
Well, CMC, see, there's some attenuation of nitrate as it moves downstream towards Kenai Road. I believe their standard is 7. But because you would be discharging to this lower stretch of the creek, you would essentially have to meet that 1.6 number at the end of the pipe.
And so if we shot it up the creek, you would raise the level?
You'd have to put it way up there to get any reasonable attenuation. I think it would be a lot more feasible if you just kept that water out of the creek and you percolated it into the soil. And, I mean, I think your intent is to restore base flow in Choral Creek so that you can use your wells upstream. I think you can achieve the same goal by percolating it, but that's my opinion.
Thanks.
Anyone else have questions of Matt? Thank you very much, Matt.
Mr. President, Bruce. can I just interject on the Prop 50, a little bit of information on the Prop 50. We attended a workshop yesterday, your staff and city staff did, that was put on by San Luis Obispo County Public Works Department. They are, the Prop 50 money and the Prop 84 money is distributed through the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan, the earworm program that you hear a lot about, and I think we have representatives, I don't know about the district, but the city has representatives on the RAC, which is the Water Resources Advisory Committee. The $50 million that is promised to the Central Coast is actually split amongst 6 earworm programs within the Central Coast. So it when we refer to the Central Coast, it isn't San Luis Obispo. I think it's stretching from Santa Cruz to Santa Barbara. So the money, there's going to be a lot of competition for that money. The other sobering news that we heard yesterday was that they needed a cornerstone project for the application that the county's going to be putting in. We have provided a project description for tertiary treatment and submitted that to the county. They're compiling a list of projects to move forward. One of the projects they discussed yesterday was Los Osos. They also included Cambria, the city of Morro Bay, and there's, I think, some flood control measures in there as well. The bottom line was from Pavo at county, the public works director, was the cornerstone project for our region is Los Osos. And if for some reason when Los Osos goes through with a Prop 218 vote, if that vote does not pass, there is little likelihood any Prop 84 money or Prop 50 money will flow into our region. So it was a little unsettling that our hopes and futures are pinned on Los Osos at this point.
Thank you, Bruce. While you're there, Bruce, I just wanted you to clarify in the executive summary of actually your report, you refer to something called, if you go to diversion point number 2, you capture approximately 92% of the average current flow. Could you clarify is that 92% of the flow from that area?
It would be approximately 92% of the flow of the entire Morro Bay flow to the existing treatment plant. So basically, it would capture all the flow in Morro Bay except that which goes down Atascadero Road.
So if I understand what you just said, you would be interested in only, in terms of your flow at the treatment plant, 8% of what you currently have.
That's correct. It would actually come out to about a 78-22 split for the district and the city based on our current flows that we have right now. And the reason that point was chosen is because they needed the maximum amount of water they could get to go to Choro Creek if they so decided to do so.
And when you referred to the 78-22, that would be 78 Cayucas, 22 Morro Bay?
That's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure I understood that. And as I understand, the estimated cost of that project was $26 million. I saw the paper reported something 68 million, and there's some other number in here, 76.5 million, and they've got them mixed up with the, as our friends from Corolla like to do, throw in 20 years worth of running it. But to get it down to what it's actually going to cost to build, the number would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 26 million.
I believe, just give me 1 second. I believe that number would be
33 and a half.
I thought it was more like 41 and a half.
So,
but give me a second, and I've got a spreadsheet here that does have the number. In terms of total project costs, including O&M, net present value, it was $76.5 million.
That's for a 20-year period?
That's correct.
Okay.
Construction costs, I believe, were $41.7
million. And we're looking at right now, $31 million to upgrade the plant that we have?
That's correct.
And if we wanted to go to tertiary, potentially 32 or 3?
That's correct.
Versus, I keep confusing those numbers with the, and including 20 years of operation, so I'll just leave it at that. Does anyone else have questions on the executive summary of this report?
Mr. Anz, I would have one more question with Mr. Thompson, if that's okay.
Please do.
My question spurred by a comment made by Mr. Keough about attending the meeting yesterday regarding funding. Would it be correct to assume the Water Board would not look favorably upon Los Osos and Morro Bay and Cayucos working together on a project in light of funding being tight? Would it help to have us all together or not? Or you haven't thought about it?
That's a darn good question. You know, I'm reluctant to answer because I'd like to put more thought into that.
It's fine.
I think that Los Osos, going with Los Osos would really slow you down. And so I'm not sure that's something you want to do or something the Water Board would be happy with.
Mm-hmm. They're not under the same time constraints that we are?
They are not under any enforceable time schedule at this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks.
And just to summarize what I think I've heard, it's called Don't Hold Your Breath Waiting for Money from 48 or 50.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of competition. I mean, you got
I know you're being polite, you know, and
yeah.
when there's a chance, there's a chance.
I'm trying to be honest. I mean, I think there's a lot of competition. I mean, you have the Nacimiento pipeline, you have Los Osos, which is like a dark star for grant funding. It's that, I mean, you look at the relative water quality.
Who's Darth Vader over there?
Well you look at the relative water quality problems and it's becomes
And I think I heard you saying that they are not water that is not being, wastewater that's not being put back into the ground and reused, it also is not a high priority. In other words, if we dump it into the ocean, that's not what they consider a high priority for this kind of money.
Well, you know that the state's ocean plan standards require secondary treated water to mm-hmm. go to the ocean. I think the state board would tell you that if you're going to go to tertiary, it makes sense to recycle it and not just waste it into the ocean. And so I think that state board would look more favorably on your project on a tertiary project if it were a recycled water project.
Now I've got a question.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mayor Peters.
Okay, then my question is, if that's the case, and looking at the numbers we're looking at in order just to provide the tertiary plant, obviously we're not going to be able to lay pipe at $400 a foot at the same time. If that is our ultimate goal and we have potential uses for it lined up, would that give us an edge in getting that money? Or because we can't afford to do the purple pipe now, would it just be forget it?
That is a point that I'm trying to make in my letter, that if you pursue tertiary, you should do it as a recycled water project, because then I believe your chances of receiving grant funding would be a lot better. And not just say you're going to do it, but really commit to sort of a phased approach where now would be upgrade to tertiary to produce that quality of water, and then later, when your demand for recycled water increases, to put in a distribution system.
Later, like 10, later. 20 years later.
Well, it would be your choice, but...
Well, I mean, what you're doing is adding not just $2 million, but $4 million to the project. So how are ratepayers supposed to absorb that? And, I mean, I know you can't answer that question, but it's a little frustrating to hear that. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, once again, thank you, Matt. Anyone else have questions? Then I would ask Cayucas for a motion to approve consent calendar item A2. And remember, this is just a recommend to receive and file.
Moved. Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Mayor Peters.
Morbe.
I move that we accept item A2.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed.
Okay. With that, thank you everyone for waiting. We'll move right to item B1. And what I'd like to do for procedure here is I'm going to ask Carollo to do a little summary for us here so we're all on the same page, and then we'll have some discussion here at the board, and then we'll open it to the public.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mayor, Council members, Honorable Director, Board members, thank you very much for once again inviting Carollo to come and present our most recent information. My name is Tracy Clinton. I am an engineer with Carollo Engineers, and we're here to present our public meeting information on number 6 on the wastewater treatment plant facility master plan. Our meeting agenda, he's got it. Our meeting agenda for tonight is to discuss the overall meeting schedule, to talk about the attendees' roles. Tonight's technical topic is the final project recommendations that we want to present, and then we'll go into questions and answers and next steps. These slides are kind of boring anyway, so, you know. I'll stop at this one. This is our meeting schedule and topics for the facility master plan. When we get this up on the screen, you'll see that we're on topic number 5, and this is our 6th meeting, as I said, to discuss and present the different recommendations that we've come up with that will work for your area. We've had a meeting in April, and this is the May meeting. We assumed a June meeting date of June 21st, which is the Thursday after the 14th, and that's certainly to be confirmed or scheduled as you all see fit. And then we have another meeting following in July or August, which would be the adoption of the final draft facility master plan for submittal to the regional board. So this is background information. Our project status to date, we have been provided discretion to retire the 1950s facilities located at the plant. We've agreed on a design flow of 1.5 MGD, and that's for both communities together. We've conducted and completed an electrical study at the plant to look at the facilities and see how they are electrically. A corrosion study is about 80% complete that we conducted. The revenue program for both the city and district are also about 80% complete. And there's an initial flood impact study that has been completed, and there's some additional work recommended in that to define more of the exact flood zone and area.
Your situation is you're going to need to reboot your computer to
Do you want me to keep going? Do you want to take a break? How do you want to?
How long will that take, Tracy?
You can shut it down and load it back up. A couple minutes? 5 minutes? 3 minutes?
Can you go ahead without the overhead? Can you do two things at once there? And because some of this is just introductory in nature.
Do you want to shut it down and reboot, and I'll just keep reading?
Or I can actually, if you've got another copy of the print, I'll just stay here and we'll put up the pictures on the overhead.
Okay. Whatever you think
that
is
would
best.
Work.
You want to do that? Mine's got some cross outs.
Want an impromptu public comment,
Bob? We've done these.
Just here.
Yeah. Perfect. So the next one. So that was the project status to date, the reports we've completed, and how much of each of the areas. The role of the City Council, the District Board, and the attendees as tonight's meeting and in all the meetings has really been to listen to the information that's being presented, certainly to ask questions, provide input, make decisions as appropriate, and be respectful of others' questions and input. With that, I'll go into the final project recommendations, which is tonight's topic. The role of the City Council and District Board in selection of a recommendation is for the JPA Board to provide direction regarding the type of treatment to be part of the upgrade of the Morro Bay Cayuca Sanitary District Wastewater Treatment Plant. And is the benefit greater than the cost to discharge tertiary effluent to Estero Bay? And does the JPA Board want to dispose of biosolids within San Luis Obispo County or continue to haul them on an interim basis to the Central Valley? So two of the recommended project options, this is a review, we presented these last time, is recommendation number two. Oops, you're too far ahead. You're giving up our secrets here. Recommendation number two is the trickling filters and solids contact with hauling. That's the current process that's at the plant. We haven't heard as much interest in continuing up the current process. Alternative number one, which is the oxidation ditch with direct hauling, and that's very similar to what's at Pismo Beach. And then the other two alternatives, alternative number 1A is oxidation ditches with filters, with direct hauling. Now, these two options, 1A and 3, would both provide tertiary-level treatment according to Title 22 standards. I'm going to focus on 1 and 1A for tonight. So recommendation number one, oxidation ditches with direct hauling. New oxidation ditches can be built that will supply a high-quality effluent to Estero Bay. The new potential residential rate, and this is in $2,007, is for Morro Bay it would be $2,773, and for Cayuca Sanitary District it would be $5,150. Now the CSD rates are based on one near-term pipeline loan. We just were working with you the past couple of weeks on the financial information, and there were several different ways it was presented, and so what we did is took one of those methods. And that's what the rate's based on that's shown here, just to give an idea. David can get more into those later if we need more explanation. Recommendation number one, a provide secondary quality. This recommendation really provides secondary quality for ocean discharge. It provides subclass B biosolids that must be hauled out of the county or composted, lower potential staffing requirements due to the ease of operation. It also provides additional benefits. It accommodates varying flows and loads, which we talked about before. The tertiary or the trickling filters that you currently have don't accommodate varying flows as well. Lower potential for odors. And there's also emerging contaminant removal. Emerging contaminants, if you remember, are the endocrine disruptors, the pharmaceuticals, personal care products, those type of things. Here's an example of a picture. This is the example of what the oxidation ditches look like. And these are in, pull it more towards you. There you go. These are the ones in Pismo Beach. And the two long rectangular basins are the oxidation ditches. And then up in the right-hand corner, the circular, are the secondary clarifiers. So 1A, this is going to be a little difficult to see, but with the, this option really shows the oxidation ditches. What we've shown is two potential locations. There's proposed facilities that are in this area, which are over the sludge drying beds. And then we have a preferred location, which is here. And you can't see it in light green color with this screen right now. But this is showing the new facilities. So it would be, again, over the sludge drying beds or partially in the trailer park area. So now recommendation number 1A, which is the oxidation ditches. This is the same process as what we just went over, except it now has filters added to it. So it would provide tertiary quality effluent. So these new potential residential rates, again, in $2,007 for Morro Bay are about $28.50 to $29. So it's about $1, $1.25 more than what I just presented without the filters. And for Cayuga Sanitary District, it's about $52 to $52.50. And again, this is based on the one near-term pipeline loan from the financial information.
What does that rate mean? Is that per year?
We'll get to those questions when we have public comment. We'll ask.
So again,
we'll ask.
Recommendation number 1A, the oxidation ditches with filtration with direct hauling, does provide tertiary quality effluent for ocean discharge. It produces a subclass B biosolids that must be hauled out of county or composted on site. The filters will have minimal impact on the annual O&M costs for recommendation number one. And this alternative has the same benefits as recommendation number one with the ease of operation, lower staffing, accommodating the varying flows, and the potential for low odors. This is an example of what the cloth media disc filters look like. They're really basically a small rectangular box with these circular discs in them, and the discs are covered with the fabric, and that does our filtering and our screening. And this picture, the only difference with these filters is up in this corner, these two little boxes right there, those are the tertiary filters. So you can see it really has minimal impact on the site, a nice small footprint. I wanted to go over the treatment removal. Again, this is a repeat. We showed this the last month. If you look at your current permit limit, you're at, the current permit limit is for total suspended solids is 70 milligrams per liter, which gives you an 81.2% removal. And your current discharge is about 21, which gives you 94.4% removal. So you're doing great. The new permit limits are going to be 30, and that'll give you a 91.7% removal. So still looks good. Now, I wanted to show you how, with the additional treatment, that's going to be impacted. So with the oxidation ditches, you now have a total suspended concentration of about 5, which is great quality effluent, and you get 98.6% removal. So you see it's about 4% more than your current discharge if you look at your current discharge number, 94 versus the 98.6. And then with the oxidation ditch infiltration and also the membrane bioreactors, that's the next phase where you'd get an advanced tertiary product. And those, again, you can see you really have suspended solids removal, very good, and your percentage is 99.4, 99.7. So, again, way above what is needed. Summary of the recommendations. Level one, what we did is we did a level one and a level two ranking. We level one ranking, we rated things like your regulatory permit, things you have to meet. These are more like the have-to-dos, the regulatory permit, the project costs, operating costs, how do these alternatives compare, and also ease of operations for Bruce's group and the footprint. So the one is the lower numbers are the best, and you can see that the – oops, wrong one, Eric. That's number two. Sorry. There you go. Thanks. So level one, you can see we've got the quality, the costs, ease of operation. Again, considering Bruce and his group, is how intense are these processes? So we see that the direct haul, this is the member or the oxidation ditches with direct haul of the solids. And then this is with filtration added, and this is the MBR process. MBR does produce a very high, great quality effluent. It's pretty expensive with energy costs and such, but it does produce good effluent. So the level two ranking, we want to consider other factors. And with those other factors, you have, can it accommodate varying flows and loads? And how is it for potential reuse? Utilizing existing infrastructure, odors, those sorts of different elements. So you can see the subtotals on this page for the ditch, it's not as good as the other two, 1 point off, which basically at this level is probably about equal. And so the overall rating is still the 17, which is the best one for those, for the oxidation ditch. Biosolids management. Let's change gears a little here. We talked liquids. Now let's talk a little bit about the solids. Must treat biosolids to a minimum of Class A in order to dispose of in the county and support local sustainability. All recommendations that we've shown you so far include hauling, but they can be adapted for full or partial composting. Right now you do partial composting, so I'll get into that a little bit. Composting is the most logical treatment option to achieve Class A biosolids. And again, that's based on your current practice. So the Class A biosolids on-site composting right now out at the treatment plant are several sludge drying beds. These long boxes that hold sludge. Those have worked very efficiently. So potential risks of implementing full-scale composting. Really, there's some regulatory uncertainties. And again, this would be for full-scale, so all composting all of your biosolids. The Air Pollution Control District, there's some regulatory uncertainties with air regulations. Composting and incinerator facilities, there's, again, the county has some different uncertainties. Temporary permanent ordinances in San Luis Obispo County, some of these things are just not known. So, and there is a higher potential for odors and increased electricity usage. So due to the uncertain regulatory climate in California this time, you could adopt sort of a wait-and-see policy for the biosolids management. And I believe that's what PISMO did, is just decided to wait till the regulations get a little more firm. So the continued practice of partial composting, the currently composting practice has been received well by the community, is endorsed by the treatment plant. The quantity that's composted is appropriate for your current community demands. The green waste quantities have not been an issue to date. The positions for the Morro Bay Cayuga Sanitary District for future energy production with the cutting-edge fuel cell technologies. And the continued practice requires the full rehabilitation of the digesters. So there is a cost impact for this, but again, you'd get to continue your process as you're doing it now, which is partial composting and partial hauling. So the cost impacts for partial and full-scale composting. This looks a little busy, but what I want to point out are these costs. So if we look at the top, we have the oxidation ditch. This is alternative number one, with direct haul, with partial composting, and with full composting. Now, full composting, remember, is the one we said might have some issues or questions or the regulatory uncertainties. So, okay, thank you. You okay? No problem.
Thanks for coming.
So the costs here, now what I'm showing, what I've highlighted or shown in bold numbers are the project costs. Again, the project costs have to construct the whole project. It's your capital costs, it's your construction management, your engineering, your legal, your admin, all the different costs. And then what we've shown is your operating and maintenance costs, and then we've taken the O&M cost and brought it to for 20 years and brought it to a present value. So here's our total present value costs. And again, the line highlighted with the partial composting, that's the main line to continue the type of biosolids treatment that you're doing now is the partial composting. So it would be the $50.1 million. And then alternative 1A, that's the ditch with filtration, so that's the one that provides the tertiary treatment. And again, if we look at the middle line with the partial composting, you're looking at a difference of about $2 million. So in summary, the minimum rate increases for the upgrades, again, in $2,007 for Morro Bay is about $8.57. And for CSD, it's about $23.50. And these, again, are the rate increases for the upgrades. What I showed you before were the potential rates. Upgrading to tertiary has an increment in cost of about a dollar per month for Morro Bay resident, for connection, and then also for CSD. And adding composting has a similar impact on the rates, about a dollar per month, again, for both. So at a similar cost to full-scale composting, partial composting is a viable option in the near term. I'm sure we have lots of questions. So questions about the treatment options and about the biosolids, we can entertain those.
All right, any questions of Tracy? I'll just turn it over to Morro Bay. Rick has a question, too.
Okay, go ahead, Rick.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
Just one question. Is the energy costs all included in this for the different types? They are?
Yes.
Okay. But the energy costs for tertiary are higher than the energy costs for secondary? That's right?
Yes, you're running an additional process, so yes.
Just to go off of that question then, but you haven't factored in any cogenerational type of facility with that that could offset some of that cost?
No.
Okay.
Just my understanding of that when we looked at that in San Luis was that we wouldn't have enough flow to make that pay off compared to them, that's why it was a good thing for them because they had enough flow to keep it going in generating, whereas we don't have enough to make it practical. Based on what we'd have to pay for the process. Am I remembering that correctly, Bruce?
That's one of the issues is that the volume of solids determines how much gas you produce. And I think we're, from what I've heard on the microturbine side, we may be marginal in gas. You might actually have to burn some natural gas to supplement your energy needs to produce the electricity. We kind of went through this a few years ago, and we almost had a cogen project. But more importantly, the alternatives, if you're going to direct haul biosolids and it's aerobically digested sludge, you don't produce gas. So unless you include some sort of composting scheme where you bring the anaerobic digestion process back in, and that's where you'll see, I think $2 million basically to upgrade the anaerobic digester part of it, side of our treatment train, you won't produce any gas. So cogen would not even be, it wouldn't even be part of the equation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. My understanding from going over to that facility was that they also use a little bit of gas just to maintain a constancy, and that it's fairly minimal, but it pays them $200,000, one-third of their costs, in order to do that.
And I think you're correct there. It's just a matter of, first of all, you'd have to have anaerobic digestion mm-hmm. on site, so you'd have mm-hmm. to spend the $2 million to upgrade the mm-hmm. digesters. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have to look at the quantity of gas that you produce and try and match that system mm-hmm. to what we're doing. I believe when we had U.S. Energy in here, it's got to be 3 years now, and they first pitched a project to us, a capital project that we basically rejected. They came back and offered to design, construct, and build a alternative cogen project with a slightly different style of engine. There, we never got off the ground with that one because the engine wasn't rated with the Public Utility Commission, but we have looked at how much energy we could recoup, and I think, if my memory serves me correct, it's somewhere around 25% of our power cost they estimated we could recoup.
My question was on what the gentleman in the audience had asked about. What does that rate increase cover? You've got two different costs here, and I'm not seeing how they relate to each other. The first one being that the residential rates would be $28.50 to $29, and then later you say that the increase is $8.57. Is that what gets us to that
mm-hmm. yes.
28 or 29? Because that's not jiving with what we heard the other night.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, because the confusion, and I had this confusion, was between $2,007 and $2,014. And I think what Tracy's using is $2,007.
Yes.
And so if you take our current rate plus what they're saying, it does equal that about $8 increase.
All right. And then the question was, what does that include? Does that include just the construction? Does that include the operation and management? And if we go to tertiary, does that mean extra personnel, things like that? I mean, is that included, or are we talking only construction would change the rates to that extent?
Yeah, everything's included in those. So the construction, the engineering, the construction management, the operations,
okay.
everything.
Power. But not Power. Use, but not any use of reclaimed water?
No.
Okay.
It's just producing tertiary for that alternative one.
You can ask the question when you get. We've got to keep it up here for now. Okay.
Can I just add one thing to that?
Yeah.
That the rates that they're, the dollar value that's being represented on the screen is residential only, mm-hmm. and what was presented the other night at the council meeting in the revenue program was, I think the 2006 to 2014 dollars gets a little confusing. But in 2014 dollars, you were looking at a 78% increase,
right.
which would take the $28 they showed up there to about 34.
That's what I thought.
And your business community is going to see that's about a 78% increase. The business community is projected to have a 120% increase. So you're going to see a bigger hit on the business side of the rate structure than you are on the residential side. It's we're working on trying to figure out how to, like, well, no, it's kind of put into a model that has to be fair and equitable, mm-hmm. but each business has, or groups of business have their own rates depending on the amount of flow and the strength of the wastewater they produce. So some people might be paying $3 per 100 cubic feet. Somebody else might be paying $9 per 100 cubic feet. So when you go to figure their sewer bill, you're almost going to have to do that on a site-specific or case-by-case basis.
And can I jump in here and just repeat what I said the other night, that the rates they presented us the other night for Morro Bay were based on a very low connection fee, a very low number of connections over the next few years, 40 a year, when it could be more than that, and it didn't include any possibility of lowering those rates for the tertiary money that we might get from these propositions that we talked about. So in other words, and I think also the other night, your gentleman who was there did say it included everything but the pipes. It doesn't include that.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to make that clear for the audience here tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. I just have one more,
oh,
Mr. Enns.
All right.
And I was really taken with the slow facility, and so I'm bringing that up again. The gentleman who gave me the tour said that they have no chemical input until the reclamation stage. Is that true for this either of these upgrades as well? They didn't even have disinfectant. It was just all biology. Do you know about that?
I can speak to that, I think. They are using chlorine or chlorine dioxide as a disinfectant.
At the end.
At the end.
At the end.
Our current plant, we use no chemical additive until we disinfect and then dechlorinate. And I think the Pismo plant would be similar to that. There's no need to have polymer addition or any additional chemical additive to the process.
Okay. And are there other studies yet to come? You mentioned the flood study is still going to come to us. Is that the last of the studies, or are there other studies still out there?
I think those are the last ones that we know of, is those three that are mentioned, the corrosion, the electrical, and the financial.
And you know when those will be done? Sometime this year?
We're essentially done with the we are done with the electrical and have delivered that. The corrosion studies just, word processing, and it's very positive. It has no significant negative effect on what we're doing. It was a good. It came up with a good result. Flood study, we haven't brought that to you. We finished what we said we would do, and so we need to bring it to you sometime before design has started to get that kind of out of the way, so we can, once design is started, we know how much flood we're protecting. So Bruce will be bringing that back to you sometime, and it's not critical is what I'm trying to
I guess in my mind I thought it was, because if we go out to the Choro, you're no longer in a flood zone. If we stay where we are, we're in a flood zone. So I would think that would require more work.
For my scope, it doesn't, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Cayucas Board, any questions? I had one rather simple question regarding the Choro Valley Satellite Wastewater Treatment Plant and the numbers that we just discussed. Your presentation just said you've based all your figures and things on loads and flows at a 1.5 million gallons a day. And what I just heard from them was, if we go off and build a satellite plant, they're only going to send, I did a little bit of envelope math here, 0.08 million gallons a day is going to be
at all. But if it dropped to the numbers you're talking about, which I've also heard, we essentially have to redo the a facilities plan, and a facilities plan really should, if that was going to happen, encompass both projects so that you knew what return flows were going where. But
okay,
Corolla has done nothing on what the effect would be if that flow went away.
Right. I'm just asking what's the effect on the current process and current direction that you've been given. I think you've answered that. You'd have to go back and start with the new facilities plan, which in my mind is almost like starting over. We will have wasted, at least in my mind, wasted a year, which we just spent getting to where we are. So given that, and Morro Bay is going to make some decisions here, I believe, at their next council meeting.
Can I just comment on that?
Please do.
The Choro Valley project, the flows that were removed from the plant, the idea was that the remaining flow would allow the plant to operate at full secondary treatment because of the reduced flow within the existing facility, and that the facility has the ability to treat those flows to full secondary treatment standards. We do have, I don't know if you'd have to completely start over in my mind, because you have significant information available to you on rehabilitation requirements, and a lot of information about what the current facility would need if you needed to rehab and modernize the plant without, quote, expanding. We're not really expanding, but adding new capacity like an oxidation ditch. And that was one of the directives that we took with Canon is that the only way that one of the only ways the Choro Valley is viable is if you can reduce the existing flow to the existing plant so that it meets full secondary treatment standards as is. And our feelings was, with the flow total that we had projected, the plant would meet full secondary treatment standards.
Okay, and And keeping that in mind, and because we've bantered some numbers here regarding the Chorro Valley satellite plant, what would be the cost to take care of the existing treatment plant as in the way you've just described?
We have done, we kind of looked at the Corolla study and looked at some of the rehabilitation needs, and the estimates that we came up with range in the $19 to $20 million range. And that would get you a plant that was modernized, upgraded, and ready to go for another 30 years. So it's basically the base model.
That implies. Now,
yeah, I was going to pretty much say the same thing in your matrix. I think, Bruce, this is sort of, I don't know if this is your matrix or not, but it's sort of similar to the one we had the other night, where it says $26 million for the oxidation ditch secondary level. This says $26.5 million. You're saying it's probably going to be around $19 million if we just do a rehab if Chorro Creek were to happen.
That's correct. If all you had to do was go into the existing facility and rehabilitate and modernize that facility to discharge.
You can do that for the paltry sum of $20
million. You can do that for that. Yeah, it tells you that the ditch, you start to trade new construction costs, and David, interrupt me if I'm wrong, you start to trade new construction costs for rehabilitation costs. Because if you build an oxidation ditch or a membrane batch reactor, some of the facilities at the current plant are no longer needed, so you're not spending money on rehabilitating those structures. So you're trading where you're spending your dollars, but no matter what you do, you're looking at it's a lot of money.
Yep.
Well, and it appears to me that going to the Chorro Valley satellite plant is not only a lot of money, it's a lot more money. What you've just said is Morro Bay would be paying something in the neighborhood of $26 million to build the Chorro Valley site, plus they'd still owe $3 million, almost $4 million for this plant. They'd be up to $30 million. Cayucos would then go to $15, almost $16 million. It's going to be tough to justify that kind of expenditure, in my mind.
It's their decision.
Have fun. I could make that one right now. Okay, with that, what I'm going to do, I'd like to make a couple of observations first, and then I'm going to ask for comments from the Cayuga Sanitary District, and I'm going to, if you would like to comment, and then we'll open it to the public.
Okay.
So, with that in mind, I'd like to say first that I'd like to recognize and thank Bruce Keough as probably all of us here tonight recognize that every time we have a tough question, we ask Bruce. Thank you, Bruce. Bruce, this is a very technical and labor. We made an agreement. I thought we had an agreement back in September of 2006 about what the flows and loads were going to be, and we were well on our way to getting this job done, something we promised the Water Quality Control Board. We promised the EPA that's what we were going to do, and I'm frankly just disappointed that we're still looking at other alternatives. Those things should have been done, and I think I said that before many years ago. I think this process started in somewhere around 1999 when that subject first came up. Seems like we'd have been well down the road in deciding before now. Also, I wanted to say that I'm pleased to see a number of people here. I'm guessing that NRDC had something to do with bringing in a number of people. But I'd also want to say that the methodology that NRDC used to get us to where we are right now was a little disappointing. I think there were plenty of opportunities to come forward with real facts and real figures and not propaganda and not try to push the public around and have the public then push us. And again, I would defer back to Bruce for his ability to produce real numbers and real facts. So once again, thanks, Bruce. We here as board members must base our decision on facts and on evidence, and we have to do what's best for our constituents. So with that in mind, I want to touch briefly on the tertiary issue. Someone earlier who asked to speak because they were going to be gone said tertiary is the regulatory future, and we see that handwriting on the wall. We've been informed here what the additional cost for that tertiary treatment is, and Cayucas has, at our last meeting, spent a good deal of time discussing this issue. Once again, Bruce was there to help us with the facts and the figures. So we've discussed this. I think we're prepared at this time to look to the oxidation ditch to Cayucas or use it there. We feel that we could might be interested in looking at least a pipeline to the concrete plant. It's actually on jointly owned property. We don't even have to leave home, so to speak, to do that. We have a letter from Hanson Aggregates that say that they would be interested in entertaining the use of that water if they understood what the costs were. So at least that, and beyond that, I think that we have the opportunity to look at Lila Kaiser Park and the high school. They're nearby. Those would be projects that we could identify. And perhaps, as Matt says, some inkling of hope that some additional funds might be available to help us build that tertiary portion of the plant. Also, we have some pretty stringent requirements regarding the ocean outfall and the monitoring and the testing that's done every year. Bruce, am I correct in saying that that amounts to somewhere in the $200,000 a year plus? So you see, once again, I have to refer to Bruce. But we were anticipating that if we could produce tertiary water, that perhaps some of those requirements might be lessened, because we'll know from at the discharge at the plant what we're putting in there, and might save us a little money on the ocean monitoring. So with that, I'll just go down our side of the table here, and then we'll turn it over to you, Mayor Pierce. Bud, do you have any comments?
I think you've said it well, President Robert. I'm prepared, having reviewed everything that I've heard, both from Corolla engineers, very, very well put together, and, of course, all the information and assistance we've had from Bruce, and, of course, our own staff, including Bill and Bonnie and others in the office, that I've got sufficient information to make a decision tonight. And I am prepared to vote in favor of tertiary treatment. I think strategically, politically, and realistically, it's the thing to do. And we need to move this project ahead.
Thank you, Bud. Shirley?
I feel excited, but in hopes that we'll have that happening very soon in the future, we can make a decision. So I appreciate all your patience. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. Knapp?
Yeah, just a couple of things. Having sat through the last year of meetings, and for the most part, we've been the bad guys by a lot of you people out there because of schedule, because of secondary, because of tertiary. I hope we've all sat at enough meetings now to know it's a very complicated, very expensive issue, especially when you're trying to act on behalf of the ratepayers. The other side of the coin is we're all environmentalists. You know, we all live on the planet. We're all trying to survive. And we all want the water as clean as possible. I tried to ask this question many different ways, and I get the same answer every time. And it's very disappointing that we can't get any attaboys or any attagirls for tertiary water we put back into the ocean. It is going to be cleaner if we put it back into the ocean. but it seems like we can't get any attaboys for that kind of a thing. And I wish there was a way we could get some benefit out of that. We want to go tertiary, even though it's a little more money, because it's the right thing to do, although many people didn't think we were feeling that way. I think we've been sort of leaning that way, but we just needed the facts. The other part that scares me, it's always more money than you think it's going to be. These are budgetaries. These are not fixed price contract numbers being flown around. We won't know what it's going to cost until after it's built. And there are lots of issues. The flood dam is an issue. I am scared to death about the whole composting issue. I think we have to do it. You know, we stopped selenium water from being dumped off our coast. And I think Kern County saying, wait till we get a chance to stop you from bringing your stuff over here. So it's going to happen. So that's the gorilla in the closet that scares the heck out of me. And so the costs are going to keep growing and growing because of all the things we got to do. And I just hope that someday the answer will come back that maybe even if we don't have a lot of reuse for the water, if we have to put it into the ocean, we're still being better stalwarts of the ocean, of our environment, and when I say get an attaboy, an attagirl, financial reason.
So that does certainly ease the burden a little bit. But it is something that when you make a promise to your constituents that you're going to give them all the information, you want to give them all the information. They will have that information hopefully Tuesday night, and that's when we will be discussing this at our council meeting. So it was not a matter of because of the Chorro Valley review, and that was something that we had to look at all the options available. In doing this upgrade, we have to look at the best possible one. So we had to look at that option as well. It's an exciting option. I don't think it's anything we can even think about cost-wise. And I do appreciate what that would do to Cayucas if we were to take that, and that's something certainly to consider as well. So, because I think this board has been working well together, and I would hate to see us lose that. So I certainly don't want to see us lose that. As far as some of the encouragement, shall I very kindly call it, from the NRDC, I would have appreciated it, too, if it had been truthful and honest and forthright instead of making a lot of accusations that simply were not true. And I'm... enough said about that. But anyway, we will be making the decision. We did promise that we would give correct and full information, especially to our businesses. They're going to be hit very hard. And they've got to figure out how they're going to be able to respond to this, raise their rates with everything else. So I've had calls from people who are on limited incomes who say, hey, it's the right thing to do. I'll suffer through it. I'll do it. I've also had calls from people on limited incomes who say, I can't. I can't afford anymore, with gas and everything else going up. So that's something that we as elected officials have to respond to. You are the people that we represent. And we have to be aware of that. Even if we make the hard decision and it is going to cost more, we need to get that information to you before we make that decision. That's only fair and right. Betty?
I don't really have a comment, but I would like to ask Cayucas, if you're committing philosophically to tertiary, or are you identifying a specific plan at this point?
Right now, what we've discussed is basically option 1A.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I have a comment, and I'd like to say I'm happy to see that the good guys over at Cayucas have come up to tertiary. I've always includes us, we're right here, and what it's called is persistent or intensifying drought conditions, and everybody else has shown a little bit of improvement, but ongoing drought with improvement, but we have persistent or intensifying in the western states. It would be immoral not to go to tertiary, and it would be stupid not to go without reclamation.
I'll try not to repeat everything that's already been said, but you know, when I was running for office here this last election, I was, of course, you know, looking at all the issues, And at the time, I was for complete secondary treatment and doing what we have to by the law. And the reason I had that opinion was that the numbers being bantered about at that point were $25 million for full secondary, $50 million for tertiary treatment. So that kind of turned me off toward tertiary a little bit because I could see how that would affect our residents. But since these new numbers have come in, and the need for reclaimed water. If we go tertiary, I think reclaiming that water is essential. I don't want to see it being thrown out in the ocean. I think we can use it. Let's use it. But because of the uncertain water supplies in our future. The only thing I'd like to know, or that I'm concerned about, is are we in a trade-off for clean air versus dirt, or are we in a trade-off for clean water versus dirty air with all of the energy that's going to have to be put forth running a tertiary plant? So I want to make sure we're not put in that position. How many tons of carbon are we releasing into our atmosphere to run a tertiary versus secondary plant? So that's really my only concern at this point. I think we're all kind of leaning toward tertiary. I think that's the future. It's the right thing to do. But let's include in what we're going to do a plan for reclamation. Let's use some of this stuff so we don't have to use up tap water and drinking water to irrigate our fields and parks and everything else. So the part about the I'd like to know on the electrical side how much carbon we're going to be releasing versus what we are now, where that power is coming from. Is it coming from fossil fuels, or is it coming from hydroelectric, or I talked to you about that today, Bruce. So I don't know if you found out anything on that.
Okay, that's not too bad. Thank you. And so what I'd like to do is ask that the people who actually live here who are going to suffer the financial consequences of what we're deciding here, be allowed to speak first. So if you're from Morro Bay or Cayucas, come up, tell us that's where you live, and have it 3 minutes.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council members, and Cayucas Sanitary District. I was asked by a gentleman by the name of John Alexander, who is a scientist and an environmentalist, to read you this letter. I did pass it out to everyone. I'm not going to read the whole letter, but I would like to point out a couple things that he said.
Excuse me, did I miss your name?
Pepper Hughes.
And you're from Cayucas?
No, I'm from Morro Bay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Basically, he says, the Morro Bay Cayucas Sewer Upgrade Program is heading in the wrong direction, aside from being far too expensive. He says that he has a technology to eliminate the secondary treatment that is readily available. The cost should not exceed $5 million, and that would include the tertiary treatment. He also says you won't get any help from consultants who get paid in proportion to the cost of the project. He has offered his staff and himself to, without any charge, to sit down with the city manager or all of you to go over this with you, this plan and the cost. And I think it would be a good idea because a lot of the residents of Morro Bay, like we talked, are seniors or low income. And when I'm looking at the cost of what the consulting firm, I believe it was Kroll, said that it is going to be anywhere from 24 to 76 million. That's a lot of money for a lot of people. So I would appreciate you as our officials to talk to Mr. John Alexander and give him the respect and option to show you what he could do for $5 million. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, folks. My name is Jason Hoare. I am a Cayucas resident, and I also am the president of AgriFuels. We're a biodiesel company that we're getting a little bigger these days. I've been coming to these for a little while. And I appreciate everyone today. It was really great to see you all coming together for the algae on it. We're still going through all the phases, but in the future, these types of things will work for communities all across the country, and I think it's important, that we look at that. But this step right here is great. Very happy to see it. Thank you all very much for working so hard on it.
Good evening. My name is Noah Smuckler. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, member of the city's Public Works Advisory Board, and chapter chair of the San Luis Bay chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. And I would also like to extend a warm thank you and a attaboy verbally for this commitment tonight. We've been going to these meetings for almost 4 to 5 years now, or I have personally, and we've come a long way, and it's been an educational experience, and I feel like we're going in a good direction here, and it feels really nice to feel like we're seeing the end of the tunnel, and we're starting to identify some options. And we agree that tertiary with reclamation is really the only option that makes sense to us, for all the reasons that have been pointed out here tonight. And quickly, I would like to say that we have a concert for water quality coming on June 5th up at the Cayucas Barn. And I am really looking forward to getting up there on the stage and thanking the councils here and promoting this decision that we've made, that we have to make, for our water supply and our long-term community health here. It's important all the way around. And one other comment, and it is important, Rick, to discuss our air emissions and so on and look at the whole picture here. And that is also a reason why we've been a strong supporter of the composting project. And we really think it's important to settle on a project that doesn't keep us reliant on trucking this material out of town. You know, this is a resource as the water is a resource, and we'd really like to see a project that recognizes that and recognizes the investment that we've made as a whole on this, our meeting time and our consultant fees. And that's why we feel like it is in our best interest to make this investment now, because we have momentum and we've spent a lot of time and energy looking through these numbers. And if we hold off to start the process going to reclamation, we're only going to be putting ourselves further back into the future and increasing our future costs. So Surfrider, we really support the reclamation project. We support getting that going as soon as possible, getting ourselves in line for some of the funds.
If we're not careful, and I want to speak to the Morro Bay councilors, city councilors, we're in a situation that if we don't take the right action, and the Cayucas people don't support us in that those actions, we could wind up there. If we don't have to tertiary, if we continue to sandbag the environmental movement, we are going to get into a position where we're going to spend a lot of money on lawyers' fees, etc. We're going to be starting talking about the JPA agreement, which is not good for us, being removed. There's a whole bunch of things that could happen. We have the opportunity today, if you would only vote for this, to get rid of one big issue, get rid of the possibility of future problems with our sewer system. Think Los Osos. This is very serious. We could end up paying $200, $300, $400 a month on our sewer water fees. You know that we almost had a nationwide disaster right here in Morro Bay over water just recently. We have the possibility of having serious problems. We can get rid of the sewer problem by going to tertiary. We're not going to have problems with the environmental community, because they're going to say we're doing the right thing. We haven't been doing the right thing. But by doing this now, we can avoid a lot of trouble. Time is of the essence. If we continue to sandbag the elimination of pollution, sewage pollution, into the ocean, we're going to run into problems here. I'm warning you, and I'm going to pay for it, and all of the ratepayers in Morro Bay are going to pay for it. If we had been at this meeting 2 years ago, if the Cayucas people had not sandbagged and treaded water and did the things that they did, if the council members, our council majority, had worked in the interest of the environment, we could have gotten a cheaper project. But now we're coming to a cliff. If we do not bagging, I saw a group of people that wanted to stop the idea that we would spend more money on that sewage plant. Peter, we have to.
Could you summarize, please? We're over the 3 minutes. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see a light go off.
That's all right.
Yeah. The JPA agreement is not written in stone. Moses didn't deliver it off the mountain. Watch out, Moses may come and get rid of this JPA agreement, and it will not be good for any of us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is David Weissman. I live in Morro Bay, where, among other things, I'm the chairman of the Community Promotions Committee. Although I am not speaking on their behalf tonight, it's nothing I haven't said about tourism at the roundtable meetings down at Rose's Landing on a Thursday morning. And we had a discussion about that when the SLOSI group came to do an evaluation of what the marine life and the maritime economy means to the city in economic terms. Because I think for Morro Bay, and I speak for Morro Bay, and I'm sorry, in Cayucos, I've had lunch there once, and it's not anything personal. I hang out on our own Embarcadero, but I understand you have a similar setup there. That is the future economy of this area. We're not going to be getting industry, and we cannot depend on energy generation from fossil fuels to continue to provide revenue, because it's probably not going to happen. Therefore, tourism and ecotourism and that kind of recreation, which, by the way, even in the 1930s, was somewhat recession-proof. The resorts, the Atlantic cities, the New England resorts, they did continue to function even through a depression. People were spending recreation dollars. Is important. And having the clean water and a marine environment that we can sell to the public is going to be important. And that's why I do support and am encouraged by your decisions here tonight, or at least the statements in favor of tertiary treatment. You notice I'm wearing the two buttons tonight, and they're not unrelated. In fact, you see the little sea otter. I often pedal my bicycle down to the rock to interact with the tourists, and there they are taking pictures of the otter, and they'll make comments, and I'll come up alongside them and say, yeah, I know. The funny thing about it is we pay the otters to be here. It's actually a city tourism budget item. I said that one is Flippy and the other one has a name, and they are on the city payroll. They're here to attract you. They're here for you to take their picture. And that's what we need to promote. And so having the clean water that comes with tertiary treatment, and again, I said this, and I think that's why your decisions here tonight is critical to our future tourism revenue. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Good evening. My name is Henrietta Groot. I live in Cayucas. And I want to thank you all for the careful, thoughtful job that you're doing, and also for the decisions you're making. I also want to thank NRDC for getting me here, because this is the first meeting of this kind that I've attended. So thank you all. Good night.
And you spoke at your first meeting. That's impressive.
Not the first meeting in general, this one.
All right, thank you.
Well, hello there. My name is Marla Jo Bruton, and I live in North Morro Bay. And it sounds really encouraging, what we've heard from Cayucas this evening. It's not shocking, but it's good news, but it's kind of late. I believe in Cayucas, if I have the correct understanding, hired Pacific Legal Foundation to help at the Regional Water Board extend their waivers. So you have had at least the head people in your district have had a hand in seeking waivers so that we could continue dumping primary sewage into the ocean. And this is a big turnaround. I hope that it's genuine. And I've been to meetings where I'm the only person there for some time now. And you've come a long way, Cayucas. Thank you. I'd like to also mention that Carollo is also, as I understand it, doing the Petaluma project. And we've been speaking, as somebody here said, that the county is looking at Los Osos as a cornerstone project. And I'm one of the people that have been proponent of a regional plan between Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas, and with our storm runoff. And that project, the Petaluma project, serves 55,000 people, and it cost $110 million. Why haven't you let the people in this community that are environmentally minded, which there are a lot of us here, why haven't you let us be in on this process? It's been primarily Cayucas Sanitary District, and I don't know why Morro Bay. To me, it was like we were getting led around by the nose by Cayucas. You've done most of all the negotiations with Carollo. And as far as you want honesty, Mr. Inns, and you're disappointed with NRDC, you had a flow study done for Cayucas Sanitary District by an employee, and now the word is you haven't any remote idea what that's about. I have a transcript from you in January 2005 in which you reference the timeline for the sewer study. Okay, you've committed fraud, Mr. Inns.
I think we can conclude now.
Good evening. My name is Cal Wilvert. I'm representing the Environmental Center of San Luis Obispo County, better known as EcoSLO. I live in San Luis Obispo.
Okay. Is there anyone else from Cayucas or Morro Bay that would like to speak first?
Hi. Thanks. My name is Joe King. I live in Morro Bay. I love hearing from people that are more upset about something than I am. But I too am cautiously optimistic by everybody's statements tonight. I'm a little concerned about what will happen between now and Tuesday night when you have your final vote. It's almost like that old saying, whenever there's a good cause, you know, give until it hurts, give until it hurts. But it hurts too soon, so you say give until it helps. It's almost like that with these costs. You know, you can spend until it hurts, or you can spend until it helps. The number one A proposal, that's so I'm not sure about the wisdom in kind of patting ourselves on the back thinking we're going the extra mile for the tertiary stage. I don't know if that's really the extra mile, if it's not even working there. So, you know, here our community really depends on the influx of visitors and tourism. And here we are on the eve of the big weekend, and nobody, you know, all those extra flushes haven't even started yet, and you can't go on the beach. So, we don't need that here. We don't want that here. So I hope Tuesday night you make your votes definite for what you're promising tonight. Thanks.
Anyone else from Joey? Are you from Morro Bay or Cayucas?
I'm from Morro Bay, Mr. Inns.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for having me here, Mr. President.
You bet.
Okay. I'm Joey Ricano with the Ocean Outfall Group. We're dedicated to ending waivers of the Clean Water Act, such as the one that this JPA has been using to dump some of the dirtiest sewage in the nation since I was about 16 years old. I'll be 52 in November. And you guys were supposed to be at full secondary when I was 16 and had a paper route in Queens, New York. Now, let's get Excuse me, sir. I won't talk when you're talking, and you don't talk when I'm talking. Okay? These are the Democrats from Central Committee here to speak for dirty water.
To the board and not to the
okay.
Audience.
Do I get my 3 minutes again?
No.
I've been interrupted. Oh, I don't?
Yes, you do.
Thank you, ma'am. Now, here's the interesting thing. Yeah, intimidation's not going to work around here. We want clean water. Now, this is the map of the Estero Bay hydrologic unit. There are 11 dischargers. Now, recently in the MLPA process, which is historic, what happened is Morro Bay got an SMR, which is a state marine reserve designation. It is the highest form of protection on our coast. There are 29 new state marine reserves. One of them is in the eastern estuary. You are not allowed to take, and you are not allowed to disturb the biological processes. Now, you'll notice when you look at the SMR during the daytime, you've all been out to our beautiful National Estuary. What happens is it's completely mud when the tide is low. That means the tide has gone out into the ocean. But the reproductive systems of animals and would eventually get into our precious SMR. The Ocean Protection Council has been very clear that we don't want state marine reserves and this whole Marine Life Protection Act process to be for nothing. Now, the last thing I'll touch on is money. Let's get the facts out. It's time to clear the air. I'm very happy with Cayucas tonight to say they'd go to tertiary, but I've heard that before. I've heard them tell me we'd go to secondary, and then they came to me and said later, oh, we're not going to do that. So what I would say is that you could go to I need that on. Thank you. Yeah. Cayucas currently holds $4.8 million in illegal reserves. This is a violation of the arbitrage rule that forbids joint powers agencies from acting like financial institutions. They are charged with treating the sewage, not with acting like a Chase Manhattan Bank. That $4.8 million is at Shanley and Associates at 1060 Palm in San Luis. It's $4.8 million in illegal reserves, and the number is 783-7470. So why don't you give them a call and ask them to release the funds, because it would more than cover the jump to tertiary. No more monkey business in this town with our precious National Estuary and SMR. Thank you for this opportunity to address you. Onward and upward.
Good evening, board. I forgot my tinfoil hat, I'm sorry. Madam Mayor, members of the council, members of the board, first of all, I have to take a moment to chastise you. It seems to me like you were giving your opinion.
Your name,
John
your
Barta,
town.
Resident of Morro Bay. Sorry about that. It seems like you gave us your opinion before you heard from the public. Now, I know you've had other meetings, but the normal process, isn't it, that you get the information from staff, then you let the public speak, and then you kind of make your decision. And I heard something kind of the reverse of that, so shame on you guys for that little thing. I think we have to take some of the you know, we all have a heart and we all have a head, and sometimes we forget to use our head a little bit, and I want to get some facts out there that aren't clear and some of the hyperbole that we've heard. Today I went on one of the websites that was linked to the NRDC, and it pointed me to a little thing about Save the Sea Otters, and I went there and I looked, and it said, and I'll try and quote if I can here, that there's two ways they think sea otters were responsible if there's T. gondii in the tissues of those mussels. There wasn't, okay? So, folks, let's all just calm down a little bit about killing sea otters. We are not killing sea otters, okay? The real question, and I hear it coming up here at the microphone, but which really isn't being discussed, is what's the cost of all these reclamation options? There's only one reclamation option that's on the table with the reports that I've seen, and that is move the plant to Chorro Valley and then do full RO on the back end of it, and that might let you discharge it into Chorro Creek, and that's a $78 million option, $76 million option. There are no other reclamation options on the table in here, so all these numbers that we talk about, you know, add millions and millions onto these things. Another thing I'd like to clear up for just about facts, we had somebody in here say earlier, why don't buy a Betamax, you know, because it'll be outmoded by then. This process involves a serial treatment of the water. You do one thing, and then you do another thing to the water, and the last thing you do is filter it. And that's really the difference between tertiary and oxidation ditch secondary is that last filter. There's no need to, you know, jump to those conclusions at any time because you can add those on in the future. You're not foreclosing one option when you take another option. So there's really no need to go beyond secondary. I mean, the law, that's all it requires. All the other towns up and down the coast, they're required to go secondary. Some of them are, some of them haven't yet. A number of them haven't yet. So I say, you know, use caution with that. And certainly when you start talking about reclaiming and all these other things, that's pie in the sky at this point, and it requires a lot of study and a lot of money down the road. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Hi, Mayor and board members. My name is Dennis Hughes. I'm from Morro Bay. My wife was the first person to speak, and I just wanted to add a little bit. I think all of you received a copy of this letter. If you didn't, we'll try to get you one. I'm sorry it's so late because it really is something of the future for everybody. And let me tell you about John Alexander just for a minute. If you don't know who John is, and I understand a lot of people don't, John owns the Abalone Farm north of here. So he does know a little bit about water. He also just happens to be, I think, a billionaire because he invented something called I can't even tell you the name of it now. It has to do with buildings, and he's just, you know, he made all kinds of money off of it. Now he's trying to do other things. And he does have a degree in chemistry as well as environmental and everything else. I have seen this chemical and the things that he does with it, the finished product. And if I can briefly just explain how what it looks like. He showed me he had a bottle of which was wastewater with everything in it. And then he had, after it was treated, what was left over. And then thirdly, he had...
My name is John Lemons. I'm from Morro Bay. And I won't chastise you because somebody else beat me to it. It does appear that the minds have been made up. I was heartened by the article in the paper today about the sea otters and about the beaches in the local area, and perhaps that will slow down some of the talk about how terrible we have been to the sea otters, and let's hope so. At the present time, there's no real need, and I know I'm swimming uphill because I don't think I'm going to change anybody's mind, but at the present time, there's no real need to take any appreciable amount of water from our two well fields. Unless and until we have such a real need, there's no justification for using tertiary treatment. Doing so would only have the result of discharging tertiary effluent into the ocean, which, no matter how you cut it, is overdoing it. Operation of a tertiary plant without using the effluent for a critically needed purpose is foolish and wasteful. I'm not considering the rates or anything else. I'm old enough where I don't care what you make the rates, I'm not going to live to pay many of them. Leaving all economic considerations aside, it would require the use of over 264,800 kilowatt hours per year for the life of the plant, which could result in up to 530 tons per year of carbon being released to the atmosphere. How can an EIR be approved for any project that does not mitigate that environmental damage? How can you really mitigate that kind of damage? I would really urge you to reconsider your stated opinion and go forward with the secondary oxidation ditch proposal.
Anyone else from Cayucas or Morro Bay? Cal, come on up.
Thank you. My name is Cal Wilvert. I think it's easier for all of us to grasp. With warmer temperatures, what's projected is for snow levels in the Sierra Nevada range to rise. Sometimes people here, especially probably in Morro Bay, where you get a good bit of state water or have claim to it, might say, well, if if there's drought, we'll at least get more state water. But that's not necessarily the case, because as the snow levels rise, what's going to happen is that more precipitation during the winter is going to be rain. It's just going to wash off and cause flooding problems, though that's not affecting this area. But the benefit of that snowpack in the Sierra is that it releases its water gradually through the spring and into the summer. And that's what feeds the state water system during those dry months when you need the water. And so what I'm saying is that with global warming, it's not necessarily true that state water is going to be always dependable for you. And therefore, I want to applaud you for the wisdom that you have shown in advocating the tertiary project, because that reclaimed water is not only valuable now, it's going to get a lot more valuable. That's the point I want to make. even right now, there are customers for the water, but as the water supply overall decreases and the demand goes up, there's going to be a big increased demand for the water that you're going to produce. And I think someday people sitting in your chairs will regard that plant that's tertiary as a cash cow that's going to help reduce the rates, the sewer rates that everybody is going to have to pay. So I think that not only are you making a very wise decision environmentally, but I think it's a very good decision economically as well. Thank you.
Good evening. My name's, and I'm breaking things. Sorry. I'll just hold it. Carrie Filler from Morro Bay. I don't know the gentleman's name, but I would reiterate what he would say. That's what I've been thinking too, is offsets of carbon output for tertiary treatment, 40 years of putting out more waste than we should have, maybe going to tertiary treatment, and the extra cost is just sort of making up for a lot of lost time and a lot of pollution we've already put out there. We're lucky we live in a small place, so maybe it's been absorbed, but I don't want to go surfing in that stuff anymore, please. And I don't surf that often, and it might be...
Hello, my name is Jennifer Joswick, and I'm here from Shell Beach. I am a member of the Surfrider Executive Board. I'm here today because I was motivated by NRDC and Surfrider causes, and also because I've surfed in Morro Bay, but also because I surf a lot in Pismo. And I wouldn't want you to look at Pismo to be your standard. I've toured the sewage plant. We've done lots of water testing. We've collaborated this with Environmental Health. We have water problems. And we wouldn't want to see you have the same type of issue. The other thing is that I'm a ratepayer. I have a two-bedroom, one-bath house with two lawns. I spend about $50 a month in the winter and about $75 a month in the summer for my water bill. So secondary at $50 to $75 a month is not that great of a deal. Now, if I could pay just a couple dollars more to have a much better water treatment system, I would be so thankful for that. So I hope that in your voting for tertiary, you can become an example for Pismo and give them some incentive to step it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie.
Good evening. My name is Claudia Engel from Creston, and I just want to make a note. I think everybody has pretty well said a lot of very interesting things tonight. The only thing I want to say as I leave is we count too. It's wonderful that this has come to a head and something's going to be done, but the California coast doesn't belong to the villages along the beach and along the coast. It belongs to California. And when it's 115 every day out of my ranch in the summertime, you better believe that the coast belongs to me too. So everybody, do the best caretaking you can. We've only got one. Thanks.
Thank you, Claudia.
My name is Dr. Mary Fullwood, and I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I first want to say Los Osos will not slow you down. I do want to propose that and I could get hit over the head in Los Osos later on for doing this, but I am a friendly person, and If our funding is the cornerstone project in Los Osos, well, how about our project branch out as collaboration with Morro Bay and Cayucas? I see it as an opportunity, a huge opportunity, that we are all facing sewer issues at parts of what I read at the BOS today. And it is a little bit repetitive with what Marla had shared, but San Francisco Chronicle writes, Petaluma residents soon will help local wildlife simply by flushing their toilets. Wow, we deserve such an exquisite opportunity, all three of our towns. The Chronicle article continues, the project wouldn't have happened without grassroots activism. We in Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas are in a similar dynamic that Petaluma recently faced. And guess what? Their exquisite project, which is still underway, cost $110 million, nearly half of the 2005 project cost for Los Osos' Tri-W, and services a town of more than 55,000 people, which is greater than Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas combined. Exquisite and affordable. Not only does it meet the needs of wildlife, and what could be better since we live on a national estuary recently designated with even higher conservation status as a state marine reserve, but it also provides flood control, chemical-free final polishing, and water recycling benefits, a place suitable for nature and culture to interface. Also, our county is working closely with Carollo, who are the engineers of the Petaluma Wastewater Facility, and I am asking them to consult with Carollo, our county, to bring this type of project to all of us. San Luis Surf Rider Chair, San Luis Bay Surf Rider Chair, Noah Smuckler has called the Petaluma Project the gold standard for what we'd like to see in our county. Thank you.
Hello. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Jennifer Blonder, and I'm from Pismo Beach. I am a teacher, and I am a surfer. So I care about the health of our children, and I also care about the quality of the ocean water, the health of the ocean. I surf regularly in Pismo Beach, although lately irregularly because the beaches have been closed. I have an inner ear infection that I believe is directly related to the water quality, and every night I have to put herbal drops and antibiotic drops and ear plugs in my ears to try to get rid of the ear infection, and it's kind of a pain. So I guess what I'm saying is I know you value the quality of the water here. You value water here in Cayucas and Morro Bay. I look around, I see you have your bottled water. When I went to wash my hands, I noticed that your sink shut off, you know. So I know you're concerned, and you value your water. And right now you're faced with a big decision.
And I serve on the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors, and I applaud what I heard tonight about tertiary treatment. I encourage that water is a resource that we just can't ignore and assume will always be there in quantities and quality that we need it. And I would reiterate that the time frame for Los Osos looks about the same as yours. It always bothered us that we thought you had a little extra time just for an upgrade. We still have residents with cease and desist orders talking about shutting off their septic systems as of 2011, even though the county hasn't been handed a time schedule order yet. So I think the time frames are similar. Carollo is also the county's consultant on our project. They did a wonderful job in Petaluma. I think that maybe we should leave that option out there. The county says that a regional evaluation will be part of the CEQA process that happens after our positive 218 vote this fall. So I don't see why we should preclude that sort of thing. And I would really like to see Carollo turned loose on something regional. I think it could benefit all of us. And I assure you, you won't have to put tertiary treatment water out in the ocean. Just sell it to Los Osos. Grant money's available for pipelines, and we need water. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
Madam Mayor and Honorable Council, Mr. President, Honorable Board Members, my name's Dave Jewell. I'm a resident of Shell Beach, but a property owner of 297173 Hemlock in Morro Bay. First of all, I too want to give the board members an attaboy for making a commitment for tertiary. City Council, I would ask you to please take the next step to tertiary. I am a Surfrider board member. I am also part of the Pismo Beach Water Quality Task Force. Unfortunately, coming into this weekend, our beaches are closed. The task force is working diligently with the city, the Regional Quality Water Board, and other concerned members to try to change what has happened in Pismo Beach. So you are taking the right step by making the next move to tertiary. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Steve Schimmick. I think I've met most of you. I'm executive director of the Otter Project. I've heard some information about sea otters this evening. You know, I would encourage you to do that. I have some kind of sad news to report, and that's that, again, this month, or actually last month, these are April numbers, the small coastal segment of Cayucas to Hazard Canyon led the state in a number of dead sea otters found on the beach. Again, this April, 8 of the 32 sea otters found stranded dead in the entire coast, 8 of them came from this small section of beach. Last month, 11 of 28 came from this small section of beach. Last year, 54 of the total of 265 that were found dead in all of California came from this small section of beach. You've heard about toxoplasmosis, and there's people that say, oh, it can't be so. It's got to come from some other place. And you know, you've heard about pathogens. Tertiary treatment will remove many more pathogens than secondary or primary will. So you still do the primary and secondary, as somebody pointed out, but tertiary treatment will remove many more pathogens. Many of the sea otters that have been found dead in this particular area died of a thing called domoic acid. And domoic acid is caused by a toxic algal bloom. I was actually one of the people that actually went out and wanted to beat the drum saying, you know, this particular toxic algal bloom was caused by pollution. And it, luckily, one of my advisors in college, Dr. Mary Silver, she's one of the world's experts on toxic algal blooms. She said, Steve, you can't do that. This particular bloom may not be related to sewage. She changed her mind very recently. Last month, there's very conclusive, and actually not last month, but over the past about 8 months to a year, there's been very conclusive research that particular toxic algal bloom is related to levels of urea in the water. Now, urea comes from both, you know, sewage. It also comes from fertilizers. Again, those levels of urea are best taken out by tertiary treatment. Some of that nitrogen is taken out by primary and secondary, but tertiary takes out much more. So, you know, I've tried to be straight with you guys, and it would be wrong for me to say that spot, what was the thing that I heard, the dark star, the black hole, for sea otter death is this small piece of beach. Again, one person came up to me and said, well, maybe they drift here from other parts of the state. No, they don't. They die here. Sea otters come here to die. That's a little bit overstatement. But
would you be able to summarize,
yeah,
Steve?
So we're asking you to do the right thing. I'm asking you to step up, do the right thing, both for the ratepayers and for the people of California. I'm asking you to upgrade to tertiary. And frankly, I'm asking you to make that decision tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Good evening. I'm Andrew Christie. I'm chapter director for the Sierra Club in San Luis Obispo County. And I would just like to address the concerns stated by some of the speakers and Councilman Grantham regarding the question of, are we making the air dirtier to make the water cleaner? Concerns about the intensification of carbon emissions if you go to a tertiary treatment plant and that higher level of energy output. And unfortunately, at this point, you really don't have a lot of say as to where the energy comes from that goes into the grid before you pull it out and use it for whatever purpose. However, the state of California about 3 years ago gave a great gift to all of the cities and counties of the state, should they choose to take it. It's called the Community Choice Act, or CCA, or Energy Aggregation, under which cities and counties can join together in a buying aggregate to decide where they're going to buy their energy and what kind of energy they're going to buy. And we'd like to invite you all, if you haven't already received your invitations, on behalf of the Strategic Energy Alliance for Change, to the regional summit that will be held in San Luis Obispo, I believe August 22nd and 23rd, that will deal with the nuts and bolts of community choice aggregation and how you can be a part of that, and determine that when you determine to go for a future of tertiary treated water, you will also be able to select a future of green energy to power the plant that will provide that water. To quote from Mr. Briggs' excellent letter, this is a great opportunity to prepare for your community's future. And I would advise you to please keep your eye on the future and all of the potential options you have in that future to both clean your water and your air for the health of your environment and your community. And I do believe that you...
Pam Hetherington again, Executive Committee San Luis Bay Chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. I want to say attaboy and attagirl. I'm just full of joy to hear you guys commit to tertiary tonight, and I'm really disappointed that Morro Bay is not right next to you, but I'm hoping for the best at your city council Tuesday night. But I want to remind you that you're laying the foundation for the future by going to tertiary, because from tertiary, you can also do your water reclamation. You could do a closed system. You can burn the sludge if you choose. And those are all positive choices for future generations. And I'll hold you all to that standard so I can keep saying attaboy, attagirl.
Thank you, Pam.
Hi, my name is Michelle Maida. I'm with the NRDC, and I just have two quick things to say. One is we sincerely thank Cayucas for being willing to vote to tertiary today. I think it's great, and it's too bad that the whole board couldn't vote tonight, but we just want to applaud you. I think that's great. And the second thing is we have been trying to figure out what customers are around here for tertiary. There was a report that Corollo did in 99 and 2000, and they found the following viable customers for tertiary water. It was the plant itself for on-site process and washdown water, Kaiser Park, Morro Bay City Park, Morro Bay High School and Bus Facility, Morro Bay Elementary School, Cloisters Development, Morro Bay Golf Course, those are all for irrigation, Hanson Aggregates, and Mission Linen. 7 years later, we've spoken to Morro Bay Parks and Recreation Department, San Luis Coastal Unified School District, Morro Bay Golf Course, and Hanson Aggregates, and they're all still interested in tertiary. So I think those customers are there for you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Roger Ewing. I've been watching you on TV tonight, and I am very, very proud to be a Morro Bay citizen. I also want to stand with and lend my voice to in support of those who have applauded your efforts to go to tertiary. The road to change is always very, very difficult. But the reason we go down that road is because the benefits achieved far outweigh the difficulties we've had to travel to get there. What we do and how we act will be measured on what they experience in the future, the betterment. Have we improved the quality of life for generations to come by the decision you make tonight? I hope yes, but that's what you need to keep in mind. It's time for each generation to recognize the future. We have to start doing for the future. We can no longer sit in the past, stay in the present, and do nothing. So again, high kudos, applause, congratulations, and to all of those who came before you and applauded you, I say thank you for their voices as well. Keep up the good work and have a good meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Oh, well, good evening. thank you for allowing us to speak this evening and address you.
Council in Cayuga Sanitary District. My name is Sarah Corbin, and I'm the Central California Regional Manager for the Surfrider Foundation. You may have heard of from several of us this evening, but Surfrider is dedicated to protecting the world's oceans, waves, and beaches. So as such, we really commend this movement for you to go towards the tertiary treatment, not only because it will mean cleaner effluent, but also because of, I mean, just the shortage of fresh water here in the area. It's pretty, you know, it's only an increasing issue that we face here in California. I'm from Monterey Bay, and in Monterey Bay, we have several desal proposals on the table, and it only makes sense to do as much as we can to reclaim and reuse the water that we have, as opposed to dumping hundreds of millions of dollars first into, you know, these other options as desal. So I really think that this is the way to go. But also, you know, we keep hearing that tertiary is the wave of the future. You might know, you might not know, but San Simeon is already mandated to go tertiary this year. So in 7 years from now, when this plant might be done, if we're not already there, we're way behind. but anyway, so the other thing I just wanted to, you know, bring, I guess, to your attention is obviously these decisions require, you know, strong community support. And I think that that's been evident here today. Also from, you know, letters from the Ocean Protection Council, the National Estuary Program, Surfrider ourselves.
Thank you, Sarah.
Good evening. I'm Anjali Jaiswal with NRDC. It has been a pleasure since 2003 to come before this board and to present you with the facts, with our analysis of studies conducted by the University of California, of Corolla's reports, the hundreds of hours analyzing those reports, going to testimony, going to testify, and going to meetings, so that you have reached, at least Cayucas has, the decision that you've made tonight. This has been a recommendation that NRDC, on behalf of our thousands of members here in the Central Coast and our members throughout the country, have made to many cities in the United States, and specifically here in California. Thank you, Cayucas, and we support you in making your decision to upgrade the plant to tertiary, the cleaner standard. I also wanted to address a point about carbon emissions that was brought up, and we've heard some other points about this tonight too. And I'm happy to send you the report that shows that in California, our greatest energy expenditure, what the greatest carbon emissions are from, is from moving water, transferring water. So a tertiary upgrade that would allow for reclaimed water, saving water, would go towards saving those carbon emissions, reducing those carbon emissions. As you know, you've received letters from the Ocean Protection Council, the National Estuary Program, as well as the Regional Board. I also have here a stack of the petitions and letters that were sent to Mayor Peters and President Enns to urge the board to upgrade to tertiary. We also have the hundreds of emails, not only from NRDC members, but from Defenders, Surfriders, the Otter Project, Sierra Club, and other members in your community. This community is a thoughtful and caring community, and we applaud Cayucas in their decision tonight, and we hope that Morro Bay makes the same decision on Tuesday night.
Thank you, Anjali.
Good evening, Mayor Peters, President Enns, and members of the Joint Powers Authority. My name is Alexis Strauss. I'm the EPA Water Director. My purpose in coming before you this evening is really treatment at our earliest opportunity, and to urge you to complete binding agreements with the Regional Water Quality Control Board regarding the nature and schedule for upgrades to the wastewater treatment infrastructure. In particular, I want to commend Bruce Keough for his superb biosolids composting efforts, which have drawn statewide accolades. As you make your various design decisions over the coming months and years, I hope you will consider expanding this excellent project and eventually reuse all biosolids locally in lieu of trucking a portion to the Kern County composter. I realize this is not a decision that you need to make now. I hope it's something you'll keep in mind. There's quite a magnificent carbon footprint in thinking about trucking biosolids to the valley. I deal with a great deal of pressure from communities in the valley that receive Southern California biosolids, and I think in the long run it is not a sustainable practice for communities to be relying on the valley. But that's not a decision you need to make now. But I do want to note that what Bruce is doing is truly noteworthy, and he has many people around the state who think this is exactly what should be happening at this scale. Secondly, I hope you will take advantage of this unique opportunity to invest in the future of this community now. But in so doing, you would garner a broad array of local, state, and federal support. I hope you will vote to provide for tertiary treatment capabilities as part of your decision-making, even if the full extent of the project must be built in phases to fully reach both service areas. I understand that you're focused on cost as a key factor, particularly the monthly rates, perhaps less so the connection fees themselves. Morro Bay and Cayucas charge significantly less than the state average of $30 a month and have extremely modest connection fees. I can understand that that's a choice, but it's as if over the years that's really taken a toll on the ability to move forward. It is remarkable, though, as I look at the difficulties that other communities around the state and in the western states and in the outer Pacific have, that a mere $1 per household increment would give this community a new source of high-quality water, which is a bargain unmatched elsewhere in California. I can think there are many others who wish they had this option before them. It seems clear to all of us that neither water nor concrete nor labor will get any cheaper after today, and you're uniquely poised to make a critical investment and in so doing to garner state grant and bond funds, which may not be available to your successors in future years. I do hope that the revolving fund at the state board, EPA funds, the National Estuary Program, we are completely committed to working with you and the regional board and others to try to make this happen if this is the direction you're going to take. I think this opportunity will never come to you again at this price, and hope that we can move forward together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gosh, Alexis. That's a tough act to follow. Anyways, good evening, President Enns, Mayor Peters, and members of the Joint Powers. I'm Matt Thompson with the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. I'm going to sort of restate my record, my letter, in case that you haven't had a chance to read it, and then invite you to ask me any questions you might have about something that might have been said earlier. Anyways, I've been working closely with your staff for about 4 years on the matter of this upgrade, and I'm very pleased to see you reach this important milestone in the upgrade process. Before I get into my specific comments, I'd like to say that we at the Water Board understand the upgrade will be expensive, and that this is a difficult decision for you. We sincerely appreciate your proactive efforts to upgrade your wastewater treatment facility to further protect water quality. We appreciate your staff's cooperation and their tireless commitment to providing you all the information you need to make this important decision. I could say that Bruce Keough has been doing the work of two men, and he either deserves a raise or a good vacation. Anyways.
Or both.
We hope to work, we hope to continue working cooperatively with you and your staff during the upgrade process. And we will remain committed to assisting you however we can. Anyways, now to be more specific. We understand the city is considering whether to build a separate tertiary wastewater facility in the Chorro Valley, while the Joint Powers is considering whether to upgrade to full secondary or tertiary treatment. We ask you to please consider the many benefits of upgrading the existing facility to tertiary treatment standards at this time. In the Chorro Valley, may take several years and could affect your ability to meet the 2014 date that you've adopted for the ocean discharge to meet secondary treatment standards. Furthermore, the Chorro Valley project seems like it would be divisive at a time when the city and the district need to work together. Upgrading your existing facility to tertiary treatment would allow you to eventually recycle your water and diversify your community water supplies. We understand that none of the options that you are currently considering include distribution of recycled water. However, if you decide to upgrade to tertiary, we encourage you to pursue tertiary as the first phase of a recycled water project. The second phase could be a recycled water distribution system, which can be completed later when your need for recycled water increases. A project phased in this manner will improve your likelihood of receiving grant funding. Now, if the city needs more water in the Chorro Valley, it could simply pipe recycled water from the existing facility and percolate it into the ground or exchange it with farmers and accomplish the same goal as the city's proposed separate facility without the same liabilities of a discharge directly to Chorro Creek. Trust me, a discharge to inland surface water bodies in today's environment is a liability that you don't want. Now, there are millions of dollars in state grant funding that will soon be available for water quality, water recycling, and water supply projects in California. There will be a lot of competition. Your project will be more competitive if it not only improves water quality but also improves water supply. If you decide to upgrade to only secondary treatment, it appears unlikely that you would receive any grant funding. These grant funding programs see they assume that all the wastewater facilities in California are already at secondary standards. They're talking about going to the next level. On the other hand, upgrading tertiary is the first step towards developing new water supply would have a better chance for funding. Now, considering the small cost difference between secondary and tertiary treatment, we believe that if you upgrade to tertiary and are successful in receiving grant funding, then it could actually be less expensive than if you were to only upgrade to secondary. So, now we trust you see there are many...
Are there any comments from the board members or the council?
Council? Betty? Mr. Enns, I'm not sure if you're going to do a formal vote tonight on your side, but I think what I would ask is there's been some information, particularly about Mr. Alexander. If we could just talk to him. I know it may be not where we want to be, but I feel like we need to at least talk to him. So I guess what I'm asking is if when you take your vote tonight, if you do it as a on a philosophical basis that you are committed to tertiary but not to a specific project, and let's have the technical group meet and talk to Mr. Alexander or talk about what other questions we may still have, but without committing to a specific project. That's where I would like to see us go. And I think that the technical group has been not meeting for a couple of years, and it may be time for us to start talking.
Could I comment?
Yes, please, Shirley.
I may be wrong, but it seems to me that that was... Oh.
You're on. You're on.
I thought it was on.
I may be wrong, but I thought that that had been exhausted by the Los Osos group several years ago, but Mr. Alexander's or Dr. Alexander's plan.
I have no idea. I've not heard of it.
Is anybody familiar with that here?
Pardon? What did you say?
That it had been exhausted by the Los Osos group in one of their many studies over, because I remember he offered it several years ago.
Well, I remember a number of years ago he brought that to the Morro Bay Water Advisory Board, and the city allowed him to go down to the treatment plant, set up his project, and demonstrate what he could do, and I'm assuming it's the same process at this time, but the product could not meet the requirements that we had then, and I'm assuming that we're looking at much stricter requirements in the future, and I'm assuming that that wouldn't be possible for him to meet the new standards.
I don't know anything about the approach, and I think most of us don't, but it would seem to me that that kind of an approach might really find better exploration at the county or the state or federal level, and looking at some kind of funding to do an analysis of how good or bad it is, because if...
Matt, you offered to answer questions. Are you familiar with the process that we're...
Right. Somebody in Los Osos was pitching John Alexander's galvanic agglutinator. And I understand that's what it's called. I don't know what it means. But it's some sort of proprietary black box that we don't really know how it functions. And my understanding is basically like yours. It was pilot tested in through some like 55-gallon drum size scale. And it, you know, wasn't very effective. That's all I know. So.
And then was that tested recently or was this in the past?
Bruce, 10 years ago, I don't know.
My guess is I think I may have someplace in a dusty part of my closet something that John had done years and years ago, and my understanding was they it was, I've worked there since 95. It was prior to my getting hired by the city of Morro Bay. I'm guessing it was in the late 80s, early 90s, and... the only thing I've ever heard is it didn't work, and Matt's description was exactly what I heard. Is it was a black box with proprietary information, and no one really knew what was going on. And they tried it, and I can't give you details. I may be able to, over the next several days, dig through and see if I have it. I have seen something by John in the past, but I've never really had the time to sit down and read it and figure out why or what happened when they ran the test.
Okay, any other comments from Morro Bay?
No possibility of a break at any point? Do you want to just go straight on through?
Well, we can just about... I think we're prepared to conclude this item.
Well, then I have some comments.
Okay.
Before you do that. First of all, I'm not at all interested in pursuing some off-the-wall... last-minute dive-in for some kind of a project. We've been doing this as long as I've been on council, 2.5 years. We've been trudging along towards this moment. And for us to stop at this point and go off somewhere, I don't know. But there are two things I want to talk about with either Mr. Thompson from the Water Board or Mr. Stringiness.
Their collection system has failed right by the pier.
The collection system. Do you want him to come up and talk about it because he's not on mic?
Yeah, you might want to come up. But it sounds like it was a failure in the collection system, not the treatment system.
Yes, it's not. It has nothing to do with their treatment plan. It has to do with their collection system.
Thank you.
The pipe between Main Street and the Pier Plaza has failed with 2 leaks. If you'd like a copy of this, I have an extra one.
No, that's fine. I just think that the treatment plan was being...
No, okay. This wasn't a treatment plan issue.
And then... thank you. And then for Mr. Stringfield, I was wondering about this Petaluma project. It was sent to me on email, and it was a Carollo project. And I'm wondering what precluded looking at a project like that for Morro Bay? Was it climate? Was it our inside-the-fence requirement? Was it money? What would you say said we couldn't have a wetlands like Petaluma? And I'm sure there was some good reason why it was never looked at. Amidst these options. Do you have an answer for that?
Tracy worked on...
Wait, you need the microphone.
Oh, great.
So maybe she can...
Great. I mean, how does it not resemble us?
Why? Discuss the difference.
Yeah. Tracy Clinton with Carollo Engineers. I worked on the recycled part and the training of the ranchers using the recycled water. From what I can tell between... your project and theirs, it's land, space. And they have a lot more land mass and area to do recycled water and to build a wetlands. They also have what's called a zero discharge permit. So over from May, if I get this right, May 1 to September 30th or October 1, they can't discharge any water to the rivers. So they have to store all their water and use it. They actually pay the ranchers to take the water.
Wow.
And it's a secondary effluent.
Secondary effluent. And so this, it's a space consideration because wherever we put the wetlands,
right,
we're trying to stay inside the fence.
Right. You need so much space. I don't know the exact requirements, but you need so much space to provide the same level of treatment that the oxidation ditch or these processes will provide.
Thank you, Tracy. And I had one other question that it has to do with this acting tonight or acting on Tuesday. And we don't meet on Monday night as usual. Morro Bay City Council will be meeting on Tuesday night because of the holiday. But in the NRDC letter we have in front of us, they're talking about the Small Community Wastewater Grant Program deadline of May 31st. And so either my finance director knows or Bruce, who knows everything. If we have a Cayucas decision tonight on a particular process, and then we decide on Tuesday night, because it's on our agenda for Tuesday night, does this, the idea of us making it separate, does that...
And cities that were, that met certain criteria, Cayucas didn't meet the criteria, we did. So it's us, it is our pre-app, and it's already in the hands of the Regional Water Quality Board.
Thank you. And then I didn't know I had one more question, but I do have one more question. And that is probably to Mr. Stringfield or Mr. Keough, because he knows everything. If they make a decision for a treatment option tonight and we make it on Tuesday night, do you have to wait until we meet again June 21st in order to go ahead with this facilities plan?
One word answer.
Well, let me defer that answer to Tim. I think he can answer, or Rob.
Is this on? No, you won't. This doesn't fall under the standard provisions of operations, the Section 6 of the JPA. This
no, excuse me, Mr. Carmel, but no, I won't what? Because I'm already forgetting my question. No, I won't.
You don't have to. You don't have to take actions mutually at the same meeting.
Okay.
It matters that you take the same action.
The same action.
And that they coordinate with one another.
And if they agree with what we do, what we say, then Carol can start running.
That's right. Correct. They can do it today, tomorrow, next week, next month, and as long
well,
as.
Well, at a notice meeting. I'm certain.
As long as we're at a duly noticed meeting with action as the basis for it, then you're fine.
Mr. Stringfield?
A
microphone, probably.
If we hear that both boards had moved positively Tuesday, then we're prepared to start Tuesday night.
That's always good to hear from a consultant.
Yes.
Anything else from council?
I'm just going to go back to this one more time, and I think my concern is that if we go for a specific project, and maybe this is a question rather than a concern, then does that preclude us from looking at other little items that we may want to add on to that, like a cogeneration or something else? I don't know how locked in we are if we do a specific A1. You know, does that mean we can't do little modifications?
Well, I don't know about the cogen aspect, but I think that your first decision really details that need to be worked out, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming they can continue to sort of like finalize the facilities plan, but at the next JPA meeting, I think you're going to have to come back and talk biosolids and whatever other issues arise as we work through the details, because really you're making a global decision and not a specific decision, because there's lots of moving parts to the treatment process.
Thank you. That was my question.
Okay, then everything over here. All right, Kai. Okay.
I think we have a global motion.
Can I just say one thing before?
Please do.
You know, water reclamation and tertiary treatment have been talked about this evening, and we've had a lot of discussion at the last council meeting, there was questions about the distribution system and revisiting a little bit of the recycled water study we did in 1999 to look at updating distribution costs and what sort of impact that would have. The other issue on this, and it's actually in the staff report for Tuesday night, is that if you take water and treat it to a tertiary level and you disinfect it, it's, quote, Title 22 ready. So the Department of Health Services would allow you to use that water. The basin plan that is put forth by the regional board has other restrictions in it that may impact your ability to use that water, or the water itself may contain constituents that either industrial or agriculture may preclude industrial or agricultural uses. The concrete plant is a good example. We have limited testing on the salts in our effluent because we're discharging to the ocean, and so regional board and the ocean plan doesn't really require us to test for those, but the preliminary testing we have, our chloride level's about 300. When I spoke to the gentleman from Hanson Aggregates, which is a concrete company, their upper limit for chloride in producing concrete is about 300. So because you have Title 22 water, it doesn't mean that the farmer can use it, that the concrete plant can use it. There are site-specific issues that are going to go into each water use, and there's discussion of that in the staff report for Tuesday night, because that's been one of our concerns at staff level is that there's this global concept that because we have tertiary treated water, it's readily available and usable for all users, and that's not necessarily the case. So we may have to come back in and revisit some of the conclusions that were made in the recycled water study in 1990. Sometimes the end use would drive the treatment technology. For instance, you want to have an MBR plant versus an oxidation ditch with cloth filtration, or whether we need RO. So we're going to have to come back on Tuesday and have that discussion, because that is part of our staff report.
Thank you, Bruce. With that, I think Cayucas would like to put forward a motion. I think it's global enough not to restrict us in any way. And before we vote on it, we'll ask for moral-based discussion input. Nat?
Okay, I'll read it and I'll give it to the secretary. Transcribe it. It says, I move that the Morro Bay Cayucas Wastewater Treatment Plant upgrade be to tertiary standards using extended aeration activated sludge with filtration, and based on the 1.5 million gallons a day peak seasonal flow jointly agreed upon in September of 2006, with Cayucas allocation of 28% to 30% of the figure, and further that the upgrade process continue as quickly as possible.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I second the motion.
Okay, motion and a second. Any discussion from Cayucas? Seeing none, Morro Bay, would you like to have some comments?
Yeah, the fact that you stuck in the flow. I think that probably could come later, could it not? We haven't had our discussions about that yet.
Well, this is not a financial, this is strictly flow.
I hear you.
And what we're trying to say is you're going to be part of the game of the 1.5 million gallons mm-hmm. today.
Your option would be at your meeting to reject the motion.
Or parts of it.
And the only problem with that delays us until we can, till our June meeting. Mm-hmm. So I think it's in everyone's best interest to move on. We're kind of tired of being in the square we're in, and we're prepared to move on with that motion. Tim?
Just want to note that those were the flows that Morro Bay chose in September of 2006. They're also the flows that were studied for the past year and that we've paid for, and that's the analysis that we're currently looking at.
And that's the discussion that I've asked to have that we have not had, and that those were assumptions that were made that I was promised we would have discussions of later. So to say that that's what has been is because it's been an assumption that everyone has said, okay, we'll say that for now so we can come back to it later. We haven't come back to it.
The only thing would change it is if you chose to build your Choro satellite plant, and then we'd have to come back to the table. But otherwise, those were the numbers that Corolla was given in September. We're way down the road from reevaluating those numbers.
Could you read the motion again, please?
Sure. I move that the Morro Bay Cayugas Wastewater Treatment Plant's upgrade be to tertiary standards using extended aeration activated sludge with filtration, and based on the 1.5 million gallons a day peak seasonal flow jointly agreed upon in September of 2006, with Cayugas allocation of 28% to 30% of that figure, and further that the upgrade process continue as quickly as possible.
Okay, that's now I know my question. The comments about the aeration and that form of tertiary, does that limit us to only considering one? Because I understand that we were looking at two different ways of doing tertiary, that there were some possibilities that they might not be as expensive as we thought. Is that wording going to limit that discussion or not?
I believe so.
Yeah, we're eliminating the trickling filter system that we're using now. And we're eliminating the MBR off the list.
Yes, good evening. There's four parts to that motion that I see, and that would be going to tertiary and making that commitment, going to the filter activated sludge, which would take away your other options, which is one reason why you're waiting for Tuesday, was the big difference between the MBR going to even a higher level than that filtration, and seeing whether, as Bruce mentioned, if you go to even that higher level, would that give you the ability to use that reclaimed water for more uses? And the other two is the flow is the other part of that motion, and locking that in, which if you went to Choro, then you would have to counter that motion and come back and correct it. So they're trying to lock that in. And the fourth is the quickest possible time frame. So there's four parts of that motion. You can accept all of them or reject them. Like Tim said, this is under a different paragraph of the JPA agreement, and the motions don't have to be the same. If they don't need to be at this point in time, they can catch up later. I think what Corolla is looking for is if house the treatment, whether it's secondary or tertiary, would be the first step.
Okay, particular method only.
Based on, this is not reminder speaking now, but based on what's been put on the table as far as possible realistic options, I think the Cayugas Board is going to say which way we want to go.
Yeah. And if you decide you want to do something different next week, well, maybe portions of this, as Rob says, can be accepted, and we'll bring it back. But at this time, I'd like to ask for the vote from Cayucas. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And it appears to be unanimous. Mayor Peter.
Okay. Well, we don't have a motion, so.
I'd like to make a comment.
Okay.
I've had a little drink of water. I've walked around a little bit. I'm taking back all the attaboys I was feeling. I have sat here and in Cayucas for the last couple of years with Ms. Winholtz asking for a discussion of those flow figures and the JPA agreement and the flow load. And we've been, you know, this versus that. And we've been told over and over and over by Cayucas, by our attorneys, by our consultants, you can do one and not lock yourself into that. And we could do a technical working group meeting on that, and we'll talk about that later. Let's do it later. And now, by your motion, you have locked that flow onto me like a little ball and chain on my leg. And then you're going to throw it out to the public now, like you're attaboys, and say, oh, if Morro Bay doesn't go along with us, they're going to cause a delay. But they've just shafted me by refusing to have the discussion in public about that flow load figure and that contract. So I'm upset, and I'm ready to go home.
What will probably happen is that we're going to come back, and we're going to have to talk about it again, because I agree with you. Okay? So then we have a meeting date thing.
Okay. Are we finished with item B1? Then I certainly apologize for upsetting you. But again, I think we need to make the distinction between what we agreed to last September, which was known then, and the question that you had kept asking about was who's going to pay how much, and that is still out there on the table. With that, we'll go to item C1. We have a date of June 14th for our next meeting. And apparently, among other things, Morro Bay High School is graduating that.
How long did you make last? Is that important?
Well, they only have every quarter.
You want to change it to a Wednesday or Tuesday?
June 21st would work for me.
21st can't make it.
Wednesday?
Yeah. Is Wednesday or Tuesday better?
That's a Friday.
No, Tuesday's for...
And Tuesday was which day?
How about Wednesday the 27th?
Let's set it up for June 27th then.
Are we no longer alternating between the communities?
Well, we're alternating between chairs, but Morro Bay has been kind enough to provide this facility, considering the number of people we're interested in.
What about access to your community, though?
They have this channel on their TV. They get it. I get it.
Okay, could we have quiet out in the audience, please? We're trying to still run a meeting. Please, could everybody please stop talking or take it outside? Thank you.
Okay, so we'll set it up for the 27th here in this room. Morro Bay will chair the meeting. Now, we also were looking for someone to attend the Ocean Protection Council meeting.
That's on the 14th?
Yes.
That's June 14th.
It's June 14th, which I believe is a Thursday.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the Bay Area, and they said exact location to be determined. So I suppose as soon as... Pardon?
It's the Ferry Building.
Thank you.
Ms. Castle, is it usually a morning meeting or afternoon meeting? It's an all-day meeting?
Well, we have Melody's expressed an interest in attending. From our side, anyway.
Madam Mayor, Chairman Nance, staff, we've been having a very brief staff discussion here about how we might prepare for this meeting on the 14th at the Ferry Building to have a
the OPC meeting.
Yes, and frankly, it would be helpful if we had additional time, and maybe we could arrange to be at the next meeting and have...
Sorry, Alexis.
Just for your consideration, I think that the June 14th OPC meeting, Ocean Protection Council meeting, the next one after that, I think, is October 25th in Arcata. And if you know how far it is to drive to Arcata for an all-day meeting, but I do think that in terms of the tone of Secretary Christman's letter, I think if there weren't a response from the JPA on the 14th, I think it would be an opportunity missed, just my personal opinion.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I do plan to go and at least say that I don't know until Tuesday, but to at least talk about tertiary, perhaps. Interest in money and grants and the proposition money, and that we are trying to do the right thing here. So I would still go at least as
well. Yeah, and it sounds as if we should have a presence there, and I would hope that what we could send is at least, you know, as much decision as we've come to in a very brief form, and say that the detail will be forthcoming. But we needed to have somebody there. I think it's very important that we have somebody there to say, yes, we're interested. Yes, we want your help. Yes, we're going this way. We don't have all the details yet, and we'll get them to you soon. So does Cayucas have someone that they would like to send?
Cayucas will try to find someone to do that, to be there. I probably can do that. I just wanted to clarify, is that something where you would expect a board member and a staff member to be present, or is it simply board members or council people?
Or just a staff member?
Yes, please. Alexis, could you help us with that?
And Amusingly, it will be my first Ocean Protection Council meeting as well, because my colleague who had been going is now the superintendent of the Monterey Sanctuary, Paul Michel, and in his absence, I've taken it on. But there are a lot of things that will likely be on that agenda. What happens at that June 14th meeting rolls up into Governor Schwarzenegger's Oceans Action Plan, which is coming out with each of the three West Coast governors in September. So you're either on that ship when it leaves the harbor, or you're not. And I think therein lies any decision that you want to make as a group. But I'm not quite sure how they handle public comment and in their invitation to hear from you at that meeting on what you decided to do. I don't know how they want to do that, but I'm sure.
Ocean Protection Council meetings, and they are streamed live. Our website, Calspan, CAL-SPAN.org, has the last meeting of the Ocean Protection Council, and item 5 on the agenda is concerning public comment, which is where this issue came up. And I watched it, and it did seem like the council was very interested in helping this community, these communities, this area of the coast, solve their problems concerning wastewater treatment plants. And this is a organization that is cabinet-level participants. We're talking the people who hang out with Arnie and smoke cigars. And they have the purse strings, like Melody mentioned. And Sam Shookett, who is director of the Coastal Conservancy, serves as their secretary. He's a very accessible person. He very much likes Morro Bay. When he came here as part of the Fish and Game Commission, he had a great time at the party we threw for him. It would be very easy for either Janice or Robert to give him a call and get some feedback in terms of what you might expect if you attend the meeting, or what to direct the people who can make it to the meeting to be prepared to run into. And I do know that they have lots of money to give away as grants, so I think it would be very valuable to you. If it is a situation where it is very difficult for anybody who wants to go there, get in touch with us. We'll be glad to play with technology and see if you can't be represented, even if it's over a conference phone. So I think it was pretty much an invitation for these communities to come to the table and see what the state could help with. So I hope you guys watch the item 5 last meeting and check it out.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comments? Seeing none, then we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.